someone's going to get offended. It's just the way the world works. So to hopefully save everyone a little time and or energy, here's this. The opinions that you hear are those of the host and callers, and not those of iHeartMedia, its management, or advertisers.
The Monsters in the Morning. Monsters in the Morning. Monsters in the Morning.
Yes, it is. Hey, you wanted the best. You got the best on a talk show in the morning anywhere in the country. It's the Monsters of the Morning on Real Radio 104.1, broadcasting live on iHeartRadio. The best way to pick us up, if you have Alexa, is to say, Alexa, play Real Radio 104.1 on iHeartRadio, and it'll do it for you. You also can see us on our YouTube channel. The best way to find everything that we have is to go to monsters.fm. Monsters.fm has everything we got going on, and you can check it out every single day. It's updated. It's checked out. You'll be able to go to it now at monsters.fm. Hey, guys, I'm Russ Rollins, host of the program. And with everyone this morning, we are going to do this until 11 o'clock. Here's the Go Ripper champion of Palatka, Florida, Dirty Jim.
Hello.
Our producer is Angel LaBoom, Angel Rivera.
Good luck.
To my right is Mr. Motivation, Carlos Navarro.
To the top, never stop, baby.
And comedian Ryan Holmes. There you go.
I'm an ugly, soft-faced man.
Oh. Well, we don't know if that one's the one. We'll have the results of the catchphrase here in a minute or two.
All right.
Welcome to the show. We had a big, big weekend. We're going to talk about all that. I want to let you know that you can text us anytime you want. You can text us at 77031. That's 77031. You can text the show. Sometimes we will text you back, and we appreciate you doing that. Also, you can call the show because at 6 o'clock, we'll do the six things you knew we talk about. We'll do some trivia at 7. So we got that going on, and the telephone number to dial is 1-888-978-1041, and then email me, russ@wtks.com, and we'll read those emails on the air sometimes. I have several, actually, to get to towards the end of the show today. And then we got the keywords today, and the keywords are for the iHeart Festival, the iHeart Music Festival. And that's coming up in Vegas on September the 21st and 22nd. So at 8 o'clock today and 9 o'clock today, you'll hear keywords, and you can win. Actually, it goes all day long here on Real Radio. So they treat you right, man. They put you up in a hotel. They, you know, obviously you get the plane flight. They send a car to get you. I mean, it's a really big deal. So if you win that, you'll love it. So we had a big weekend. We were just talking about it here, and I talked to Angel a little bit earlier this morning. And man, that weekend at Universal was a lot of fun.
Oh, yeah,
I mean, it was like the broadcast Friday was just, we just had a great time.
Amazing.
It was a blast. Amazing. And then what did I do Friday after the? I don't think I did a whole lot of Universal stuff that day because I needed some rest.
Yeah,
you know. But Saturday, man, we blew it out. I got one of the photos here from over the weekend of the 100. Actually, there were more than 100 people that showed up.
Way more,
because there was a bunch of people that showed up that were just
pass holders.
They had their own tickets, and they would come and hang out. And that's probably like half the crowd, right?
Easy, yeah, because I was looking at the picture later, and I was like, oh, man, there's a bunch of people that aren't there that we know we brought in the studio, that they got to meet everybody. That was one of the most, the best experiences I think I've ever had working on the show.
I would agree. What was great about it, and for those that didn't make it, you can see it. I filmed some of it, put some of it on the YouTube channel, so if you go to monsters.fm, you can see it. We're basically, we got to bring people into the studio, and they were actually in there while we were broadcasting on Real Radio 104.1, because we were doing the music shift for Saturday, and that was Angel, that was a lot of fun.
That was a lot of fun. We got a lot of good feedback on that. What was fun is watching everybody turn into their radio, the music radio version of themselves. That was pretty fun.
I know.
Did everybody give themselves a name?
No. It was everyone did one of these, Jimmy. They got into the Up Next Is. Then Russ got to do his lifelong dream, is a ramp up a Kiss song.
I got to ramp up a Kiss song, which was fun. And what was neat was that everybody had a different type of music. Like Savannah's music, obviously, was different.
That's bizarre.
What'd she play? B-side Violent Femmes?
Mary J. Blige. All then what was the other one?
There was one that was like a song that like started.
Liam Lynch.
And then she stole one of Carlos' songs.
Lump, Presidents of the United States. But, like, you know, I was picking random stuff. It was fun that we were able to do that and play all kind of different, you know, genres, really.
Yeah. That was, for me, you know, if I was a listener, you know, and I got to come in and actually watch us doing it and be in the studio and everything.
Yeah, that was really cool. Like, if, as a fan of the show for a long time, too, before being here, like, mm-hmm. that would have been awesome to just be able to go in. Because that Universal treats you guys amazing, by the way. I thought that's how you guys got treated all the time. So to see that, I was like, wow. Okay.
Yeah, what did you think about, like, just on Friday when we were there and they bring in the buffet?
They brought in the buffet in the morning, which was like eggs, egg whites, chorizo, bacon, maple bacon, all this crazy food. And then they're like, okay, now lunch is going to be at 9:30.
Lunch is on its way.
God bless them.
They went extra, and then they hooked up the listeners as well.
Oh, my God, my favorite part was the listeners come in, and I imagine they're just going to be like, oh, look around. This one lady's like, can I make a sandwich?
Yeah.
And then she's like, can I have another sandwich? And I was like, go for it, man.
Yeah, that one lady ate three sandwiches.
Yeah.
She was hungry,
she
man.
Really she was hungry.
We got to bring everyone into the studio, Jimmy, and they got to kind of see it and hang out and take. We took photos with everybody inside, and then we took a big photo outside, but that's not everyone. That's the best picture I got. But
wherever you went in the park, there were people. Wherever you went.
Saw a bunch of Facebook pictures about it.
Yeah.
Looked fun.
You know what was really cool were those fans, you know, it's fan appreciation, but Blog and Molly made these fans, and we took those for the rest of the day, and while you were standing in line, it was very helpful, because it was hot out there, man.
Brutal hot, and I went there the second day, and it was just even worse. I see why the park was like... kind not empty, but like it was definitely. I always go in like October Halloween Horror Nights time. It's always packed.
Yeah,
and this I was like, wow, there's not many people here. And then about 2 hours in, I'm like, oh, I get this.
Yeah,
you know, what's fun for me is that my wife had not been to Universal in forever for a long, long time, and we've been there so much, you know, we go there all the time. But to think, like, when she went on the Fast and Furious ride and just laughing and loving, like, oh my god, it's the best ride. Like everything we did, she was appreciative of and loved. Like, no, she doesn't down everything, and she's not bitching
about nothing. Yeah.
She's just like happy about, and we rode that ride and Fast and Furious, and then we went over to the Harry Potter thing, and it was like a kid. Like, she was so, like, this is like, oh, like I can't believe this.
That's the best person to go to the park with.
It is, especially
if you've been there a while and it's kind of your thing because you live here. It's cool to see people come out and go there and experience that for the first time.
It made it fun for me to sit there and watch her, because I knew what was coming up with the Harry Potter ride. We've already done the Fast and Furious. But she was like a kid, like just enjoying the whole thing, and it's fun to go with people that,
especially
that enjoy it.
If you haven't seen that type of technology, if you haven't been in the park in 10, 15 years, ride technology has jumped on a whole nother level where it's overwhelming. And there are some people like, well, I don't like this a little bit. And that's fine. If you go to the theme parks all the time, of course, you're going to be more of a critic.
Yeah.
But like most of the people you see looking around, that's the only time they're going to go there.
Yeah.
The majority of those people.
She just absolutely
enjoyed it. And so they love it, and that's awesome to hear.
And did not know what to expect when I said, listen, okay, we've got to, after we eat, and we ate at the Monster Cafe, which was perfect because there was enough room for everyone to sit. It was no problem all weekend, which was great. But we ate, and after we ate, then we went over and we did the Harry Potter thing, and then we're going to come back at 3 to meet all you guys for the Monster Makeup Show. And that, once again, she's like, what is it? They're just to put makeup on? I'm like, no, it's like a comedy. You're going to like it. You're going to like it. And she laughed the entire time. That is a really, really great show.
I told you how incredible. It's incredible, right?
It really, one
of the best kept secrets at Universal Studios is the horror makeup show.
Well, the two actors are on stage. They're obviously doing improv because they're making stuff up as they go. You could tell because they're using people from the audience, right? I mean, you would know.
Yeah.
They're riffing.
They have a script that they go off of to hit the main points, but you can tell, that's my favorite part of seeing a live show, especially one that's run for a very long time. You can tell when they're throwing jokes just for themselves and making each other laugh and throwing each other off a little bit. I always like to see that.
That script has not changed since 1989, and then they just kind of add on new stuff. The first time I ever saw Scarface was in that show.
Because
they did a special effect from when Tony kills the guy in the car, and I was like, what movie is this? And then that's when I first discovered. And now they don't do that. They do some newer, you know, CGI stuff.
And once again, not to spoiler alert, if you've never been to the makeup show or whatever.
No, don't do it.
Well, okay, but so
don't do it.
I'm,
why?
I'm gonna do it in a way where you know what I'm talking about. So my wife said, "Man, it'd be funny if that was there." And I'm like, "Oh, that's silly, honey." And then it, you know, starts moving, and I can't believe it. Like, she was, I'm like, you're like a kid. You're like a 13-year-old. That really shocked you, you know?
I think those two things are two of the most coveted roles at Universal. For the employees to be able to do that show, like, you have to audition for it and go through, like a lot, because I think the guys who get that show, once you're good at it, and they're extremely good at it, I don't know that it gets given up that much.
Yeah, the guy who was one of the actors on stage, he was actually the face of Universal Halloween Horror Nights one year. Like,
oh, really?
When he was like the bellhop guy.
The usher.
And so, I know what you're talking about.
And the other guy went to Lyman.
With you.
Yeah.
We saw Ross.
I saw Ross, and I saw, you know, different characters.
And then I did exactly what I planned to do, and that was to go to Finnegan's, and that was to go to the Irish bar and to hang out. And, man, it was so much fun. Shout out to Jan, the
bartender there,
who is a huge Monster fan.
Yes, she is. Thank
you. God bless her. She's so nice. And she made this thing. It was a chocolate covered pretzel shot, I think is what it was called. Woo, man. We did several of those. And it was great. And just hung out with a bunch of the listeners. And it was that was very casual, you know, just kind of hanging out at the bar and drinking. And did that for a while. And then I was like, okay, here's what we're going to do. Because Jeff Howell had come in on Friday and talked about the bar and how, you know, come on, we got to get some people out here. Times are tough. And Jesse the fiddle player was playing out there, and Joseph. So I said, let's go out and see them. So, okay, that's fine. So I was trying to find an Uber to get over there.
Yeah.
But everyone kept saying, you got to go over here to get an Uber. Next thing you know, I was on the on-ramp getting ready to walk on I-4.
I'm like,
this cannot be a good idea.
Yeah.
This is not good. So we ended up going back to the hotel, and the hotel was awesome.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
I mean, we went swimming with you.
Yeah, we saw you guys later that night.
That's right. Yeah. We're in the pool.
Yeah.
what hotel did you guys wind up staying at?
It was Cabana Bay.
Nice.
Yeah. Which is,
I haven't been there yet.
It was really nice. And Friday night we decided not to leave property. We just stayed there at Cabana Bay and went from bar to bar and hung out. We ended up in the bowling alley, just kind of hanging and meeting a lot of the listeners and stuff. So it was a great weekend. I don't know anything that you guys remember that happened that we.
I think we talked about it all. You said kind of talked about it. It was just an amazing experience, a first class event. That you know, we were able to partner with Universal and us on the Monsters and Real Radio. It was just really, really nice, and I hope we get to do it again.
For me, it was really cool. Just because everybody was like so warm and welcoming and really nice, and happy to make fun of my face.
Yeah,
to my face. Like I was just, like it was nothing. Like just like, oh yeah, this is your face.
Jimmy doesn't know. So when we did the show on Friday, you know, I'm doing the introductions at the beginning of the show, and,
right.
and everybody says something. You know, he says to the top. He says. Kitty Loco, what do you say? What is it?
Kitty Loco.
You got it right. I mean, you nailed it.
Kiki Loco, yeah.
Nailed it.
Kiki Loco.
Yeah, Kiki Loco.
And so.
It's the Mexican breakfast chain.
I introduce Ryan Holmes, and he's like, I need a catchphrase here. And so we try to get him a catchphrase. So here's the three that we let people vote on.
All right.
One is.
One more respectful than the next, I'm sure.
One of them is really respectful.
Comedian Ryan Holmes' catchphrase would be Ugly Sloth Man Face.
All right.
Okay. Number two.
That's a good jumping point. I agree.
Yeah.
Oh, me so Holmesy.
Yep.
Don't know what that means.
Yep.
And I'm the King of Denmark. So those were the three that people got to vote on.
The King of Denmark, huh?
I'm the King of Denmark.
Yeah, but you got to say it with a silly voice.
Let me do them. Okay. Now, start from the top to the bottom so Jimmy knows he gets the full experience here. Okay, so ladies and gentlemen, comedian Ryan Holmes.
I'm an ugly sloth-faced man.
Okay. All right. ladies and gentlemen.
That actually makes me sad when you say that about yourself.
By the way.
It seems like you're forced to by a kidnapper. Like, that's something you have to say into a camera to get out.
The listeners seem to like that one because they used it a lot to his face.
Right to his face.
Yeah, they know you're not going to fight back. That's why they do that.
The one changed his Starbucks order from Ryan to Ugly Sloth Face Man without him knowing.
Right. Okay, the second one. Ladies and gentlemen, comedian Ryan Holmes.
Oh, me so Holmesy.
Which still makes me laugh.
Yeah, I don't get it, but that's fine.
Like Misa Honey, you know.
Yeah, I get it, but what's Holmesy? What is that?
It's his last name, Ryan Holmes.
Oh, Holmesy. There you go. I got it.
Okay.
Well, that one just got ruined.
Yeah.
And then the last one is, ladies and gentlemen, comedian Ryan Holmes.
I was the King of Denmark.
That's my favorite. And winning by 60% of the vote is, which means Ryan Holmes' mom was doing a lot of voting.
Yeah.
The winner is, I'm the King of Denmark.
It's definitely not the sloth face.
Thank you, listeners.
All right, we got some more stuff to talk to you about, tell you about. Remember, you can win a trip for two to Vegas to the iHeart Radio Music Festival today, and we'll do trivia at 7 o'clock, and we'll do the 6 things you knew we talk about at 8 o'clock. So don't go anywhere. You're listening to the Monster of the Morning.
iHeartRadio is the easy to use app for music and radio. Download the free iHeartRadio app today.
Radio.
104.1. And we'll talk more about it here in a little bit, but remember, this coming weekend, you got Friday night is the Monster Back to School Skate Party. I already have a lot of people telling me they're going to be out there for this. It doesn't cost that much to go. It's what... like $20 if you got 5 people in your family.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's great. And then you just bring, you know, bring some sort of a school supply to help donate for a gift for teaching. And it's this Friday night. It's at Astro Skate. It's going to be a lot of fun. Looking forward to that. We'll tell you more about it in a little bit. And then the Monster Brew Bus is this Saturday, but it's sold out, right, Angel?
I think so.
Yeah.
I think there might be one left. Well, I'm not sure.
Yeah, I think
they only had 15 seats and I left Wednesday.
They were arguing whether there was one seat left or not, and I think there was one seat left.
Yeah, I think there might be one seat left, or just the way that the program that keeps track of that shows that, but it's actually been sold.
Yeah.
So the person I spoke with on Saturday night said that they were jumping on that. So
okay, good. Well, anyway, hey, welcome back. I'm Russ Rollins, along with Dirty Jim, Angel Carlos, and Ryan Holmes all here today. Hey, what are the chances of this, and has this ever happened to anyone else? So, you know, I was sitting here thinking about, man, okay, what else have, you know, whenever we have an event or we have something and everything goes great, it's like, okay, now that I've said all the nice stuff about it, like, there had to be something that happened that you know, you could have a topic out of or that was unusual that you could do. But really, everything went so wonderful.
Can you do something about the heat?
The heat, yeah. We could complain about that, I guess. But here's something that I just remembered when I was talking to Ryan Holmes, and has this ever happened to you? Because it was a little funny thing for us, and that is we were going to go on one of the rides, I forget exactly which one, and there was this older lady. I mean, like, you know, she must have been almost, I don't know, 75, 80, or whatever, and she had her granddaughter with her, kind of a bigger lady. So when they would walk, like, the granddaughter would be here, the grandmother was here, and they were taking up the entire, you know, you couldn't go past them, you know, so they were really, really slow, and we're like, oh man, it's hot. And she's really slow, and we're just kind of looking at each other. You know, we don't say anything. It's just the way it is, right? So then we finally get to pass her, and then we go to do something else, and then we go to another ride, and there she, and we're stuck behind her again.
Oh my God.
I'm like, oh my God. Okay, so then I go over to the Harry Potter ride, and they're like, okay, my wife had a bag. You got to put the bag in a locker.
Yeah.
So I go over, and it's really crowded there, and I'm waiting in line to get in the locker, and who's in front of me? The same old lady.
Oh my God, the scrap metal guy on I-4.
Moving as slow as that. So that's the third time. I'm like, oh my God. So we get on the Harry Potter train to go to the other park. I'm like, well, at least we don't have her. You know, and as soon as we get out, we're getting in line. It's 5 different times we get stuck behind the same lady, and those parks are big. What are the chances?
That's a good question, because that happens not only in parks, but that happens, for example, in traffic.
Yeah.
That can happen at a movie. Like, you find that person that is just, for your whole experience, is in your way.
Yeah.
I don't know how you break that.
Well, and that person represents that thing. It isn't necessarily the person, right?
She could be a very nice old lady.
It could be 3 people walking side by side, walking very, very slow. I encounter that. That's a mall thing where you're like, you're in a pinched area, and they're like, there's a family, and instead of walking like in a... they just walk side by side, like they're troops.
Like they're playing Red Rover.
Man, just move. Like Jim coming right over.
No, but Russ, I hate to break it to you, but you have the same waddle as an 80-year-old man.
You are literally going down the same path, and you're arriving there at the same time. And she's beating you.
I know, she's beating you.
Somewhere,
excellent point, sir.
Like, there's this guy.
It's just steps.
Somewhere, somebody's like, there's this guy in a Kiss shirt, and I could not get past him.
I'm trying to move him, and he's right on my tail.
He seems so young. Why does he keep following me?
She ended up at the Monster Cafe as well, and she was right in front of us at the Monster Cafe 5 different times, the same old lady, and I'm like, she's going to think I'm following her.
Actually, you know what? Now that you say this, I don't think it's her.
No.
I think...
I was surprised every time I saw her.
You got to get your steps in, bro.
Get more steps up, brother.
I guess so.
This doesn't happen to you, though? Every time I go to a theme park, I will be around the same, like, there's a version of, like, 7 people that we're synced up in a theme park. You know, like, and we're just traveling together, and I'll see these same 7 people all day. I can't find my friends who are there all day long. But I can find this guy Jeff over here who won't get out of my way.
What's up,
Jeff?
It's always a Jeff.
Did you end up talking to her?
Yeah, I did.
Oh, you guys made friends now?
I tried to.
Your BFFs?
I tried to lighten the, you know, everything, because as we were walking up the stairs, you know, and that was, you know, I forget which, I think it was the ride for the Harry Potter. You got to go up the stairs.
Right.
And she's going so slow and not letting us go around. And so I finally get a chance to scoot past her.
See,
the granddaughter steps to the side for 1 second.
Trimmer,
like, this is the time to make our run for it. So we go past. I'm like, ooh, it's a lot of walking today, huh? And she's like,
she just grunted.
Was she Frank the Bear?
Yeah, I think she was Frank the Bear.
Who does she know?
Yeah, but
I get it, man.
That's a little thing. It was kind of funny, but all day long, it just was a great day. Did it seem like it wasn't that crowded?
No. When we were there, it was very, very crowded. The next day did not seem as crowded. But let me ask you this. I don't drink anymore, but I used to drink a lot of theme parks. It's my favorite place to drink.
Ah, that was my favorite place to drink.
Right. And I think obviously you'd never want to get just hammered at a theme park, but I think like drinking beers at a theme park is almost like you're working out because you're like putting beer in you and then you're walking a lot. So you're burning it off.
Yeah. That's why I drink liquor.
There you go. It's straight to the point.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the heat always works well.
Those are my favorite fans to me, like outside the horror show, because you can't bring drinks in there.
Yeah.
So just a bunch of us drinking beers outside, like, we'll get in there eventually. Yeah, it'll be fine.
We got tickets.
I will say this. It was one of those things where it turned out being a great staycation, because what we did on Friday night, we took advantage of City Walk.
That's right.
So my lady, through her job, has the party pass thing that you can get, and for, like, I think it was $6 or $7 for two tickets. That through her work, we got to go through every single one of the nightclubs right there on City Walk. So we were bouncing around. So I'm up on stage on Rising Star, so I'm belting out tunes. I'm over at the Groove, cutting it up with Chino. He's on the ones and twos over there. Then I go to Bob Marley's, which still, to this day, crushes it.
Yeah,
like
it's
crushes
it.
Standing room only. And then I went to the Cuban Club right there up front, the cafe, the Red Something Cafe. So that part was awesome.
You lived like the Universal B-roll hotel room life. Like, you literally did all the things. And there was like angel dancing. I would have loved to have done that. That would have been fun.
All the stuff on the flyer that's in your room to do.
Yeah, but I've never been to Catch a Rise. I've never
been to it either.
Yeah, I've walked by there a million times. And I know last week we were talking about that guy emailed about going to karaoke, if that's a good idea.
Yeah.
If you do it at that place,
it's good.
Because they got a backing band. You're up there with singers and everything.
You feel like a star.
There's no way you're going to sound horrible.
Yeah. No, because they'll turn you down and turn the band up.
Oh, really?
They definitely will, and it still will sound great.
I've never been there. Do they do that every night?
Yeah. That's every night. I know a couple of guys in the band. Shout out to Gino. He's the keyboard player.
Hey, what's up?
Yeah, my lady goes up there and sings and crushes it. So
that's cool. Yeah,
it was ended up being a really, that part of it, like the whole weekend encompassing was awesome.
Very cool.
I was looking for Angel most of the time because
I didn't see you a lot.
Because last year, on Friday, I was alone then. I was by myself, and I remember walking into Angel at the bar.
First bar.
And so I told my wife, I said, "Let's go. I know where Angel is. He's going to be at the same spot." And I went back to the same spot. He wasn't there. But then on Saturday night, after being at the park all day and drinking and being hot, man, jumping in that pool felt good. I haven't jumped in a swimming pool in forever.
Really?
Oh no! And then I think they kicked us out at midnight.
You guys shut it down?
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, Mary Ellen's had her clothes on, I think. I pulled her in the pool. But
she had her monster shirt on.
She had her monster shirt on. But it was a great, great weekend. It was really a lot of fun.
Yeah. I did not realize how famous Carlos was.
Thank you.
Walking around with Carlos, like, just through Universal Studios, people stopping him. And, like, he knows the Shrek donkey. He knows the people at the horror makeup show. He knows Bumblebee the Transformer.
Right, Shout out to Bumblebee.
Probably been in a lot of auditions with a lot of those guys, right?
You know what's funny? That is true. There's a lot of people that, you know, you go in Orlando and entertainment world, you end up knowing a lot of people.
I don't know, but for me, it was just like, all right, Carlos, you do a lot of things. Yeah. And we're walking through the park, going on rides and stuff, and all of a sudden we're walking through, and there's that Bumblebee robot there, and gives like a head nod. And I was like, yo, I think that robot knows you. And then he gets a text later from Bumblebee the robot.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you know Bumblebee?
He's good. I know Bumblebee. I'm not going to shout out his name because it's Bumblebee.
Don't blow him up.
And the new Bumblebee movie looks amazing.
Yeah, no, it's going to be good.
But no, we had a blast, man. And it was, we shot some other stuff out there that we will be putting out soon, and there's hopefully going to be some really cool information about Universal.
Yeah, we got some good things in the works, so we appreciate them taking care of our you know, listeners like that, and everyone that we met. I met a listener that has been listening for a while now, and he's heard us talk about the 23andMe thing, and Jimmy, he said that he heard us talking about it, and he didn't think much about it, and then he had a cousin that got hold of him and said, yeah, I did 23andMe, and I think I found someone you might want to know. And it turns out he said it was one of those things that you block out, you know, we kind of blocked it out of his head because it was kind of painful. When he was like 19 years old, he got a girl pregnant And the parents didn't want him to have anything to do with it, and so he just kind of blocked it out of his mind or whatever.
Like the 50s.
And now he's 53. Yeah. He's my age, and turns out he has a daughter, and he got to meet his daughter for the first time. Well, actually, he hasn't met her in person. They've been talking back and forth on Skype,
right?
And she actually was texting him while we were standing there.
I hope it's a catfish.
No, it's not.
That'd be the best ever, wouldn't it?
We're about to meet on the Minions ride, Russ. Will you go with me?
No, I guess she was really excited because she had never been to Universal, and he was telling her about it and showing her pictures and stuff, and it was a pretty neat story.
That's
man.
Cool.
Yeah, he kind of reconnected with his daughter, and
I mean, there's a bunch of ways to look at that. That would be a really weird thing to have happen.
Yes.
In the two-thirds part of your life. At 50 years old, to find out of nowhere because you wanted to see if you had any Comanche in you, to find out, oh, boom, you don't have any Comanche, but you do have a daughter living in wherever.
Well, yeah,
he's 20 years old. That would be so bizarre to me.
He actually didn't do the search, though. It was his cousin had done it, and his cousin found, you know, because they
do that family tree thing,
they
right?
They show you who everybody is.
It happens all the time up there.
Oh, well.
All the time.
There was a story my wife just told this weekend. We were camping, but I was so blotto most of the time, I couldn't remember it, but I have to ask. But I think that very same thing just happened in our family. It was like a cousin of a cousin, and they just boiled it down. We're like, well, if that definitely not it, that's not it.
Right.
Well, it has to be that guy. And turns out it was that guy.
Wow. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So you don't even really, I told him, I said, I'm never doing this thing.
You know,
and then they're like, it doesn't matter if you do or don't, that eventually, if enough people do it around you, it will isolate you to the point where you have to be the answer.
So his daughter that he found, Jimmy, is 29 and he's 53. And he goes, you know, it's so strange because I don't know what role I'm really supposed to take, because talking to her, I felt like I should be a father-like. But he said, but she's a grown woman, you know. And the thing was, it wasn't his choice to not see her. It was the mom's choice and wouldn't allow him to.
Kind of I see.
Yeah,
their
yeah.
parents. Oh, I thought she said it was like his parents told him to bail and get the hell out of Dodge.
No.
That's way different.
It was her parents, and he sort of didn't have a say-so in it.
But he said he blocked it out.
He said, I think I kind of blocked it out.
That's ridiculous. First, I would have looked at him like, come on, man.
Come on.
You know what you baby. Well, come on. Well, I block out some things I did in the late 90s. But I'm not going to forget about a baby.
Well,
I ain't mad at you, dog.
He never actually got to see the baby, though. It was like, hey, I'm pregnant. Don't ever talk to me again. My parents don't want you to be involved.
And then she did that Men in Black thing.
Yeah.
You don't forget a baby.
Yeah.
No, you forget the oven on, but you don't forget a baby.
Exactly.
Does he have other kids?
I believe his other daughter was there with him. I believe so. Yeah.
I would think it'd be kind of like.
And she was cool about it. They were like, you know.
That's because what if you're out and you're like, that girl's hot over there, and then
you're like, oh god,
it's my daughter.
Yeah, surprise invitation. You know, I think it would be unique, right? Because you kind of get off like in the sense of like. If they really weren't trying to get a hold of you and you didn't know, and if you really had this mysterious blackout, then you're like, all right, I got a cook kid and she seems pretty cool.
Hey, how do you answer
that
this
happens
one?
More than you realize.
I know.
That happens a lot. That scenario right there, there's a ton of dudes going, oh, damn, you guys are talking about it. I just remembered.
I have a kid.
It's one of those things that guys can block out for sure. But how do you respond to this? Because I said, I'm like, so, you know, she's 29. I'm like, so do you have any grandkids? Because now it turns out she's a lesbian, and I'm like,
and they cannot reproduce.
And I didn't say anything. I'm like, oh, cool. You know, that's 2018. That's fine.
As you know, the Melissa Etheridge line died at her, and it's like, okay, you don't say anything. You don't say anything.
I said, you know, it's acceptable. You know, whatever.
Can I sit you down and talk about adoption? He said, what are you gonna do? Okay.
Amenica says that God killed her womb.
Yeah. You know, what are you gonna do? But that's an interesting story. It's happening left. And right, man.
Yeah.
Texting service checking in 77031. That's the number. Remember, just save that in your phone as Real Radio and then text all the shows because we love it. My dad found out a few weeks before his 60th birthday that he had a 37-year-old daughter, and the exact same thing happened. She matched with our cousin to cousin. Boom. It wound up isolating him. She said, it's insane but awesome.
Wouldn't you also be like, God, I hope they're cool.
Yeah.
And you see them, you know, like, because if you see them, they're like, oh, they're not even that cool. I'm like, well, can you go back in the box?
He's some crazy hedge fund manager with multiple yachts.
Yeah, like, whoa, his daddy's home.
Right. He's got a loner yacht. Right. Exactly.
But if he's like some loser, he's like, he's a criminal, you're like, if I could have gotten a hold of you, son.
Right. Yeah. It's like Shaq's dad.
Yeah.
He shows up.
Damn.
I like you guys are so positive about this. I've always avoided this stuff because I'm like, I don't want to be in the system, but now everybody's done it around me. But like, you, just one day, you imagine like that serial killer guy that they caught.
The Golden State Killer.
They went to like four people probably before that and be like, knock, knock, knock. Hey, we think you're a serial killer. And you're like, whoa, what?
Right.
Right.
What, me?
Yeah.
All right. Now, don't go anywhere. You're listening to the Monster of the Morning. Real Radio 104.1. I'm Russ Rollins, along with Carlos and Angel, Ryan Holmes and Dirty Jim, and it's a beautiful Monday. So, Jimmy, you went camping this weekend. You know what's
funny?
Yes. I've got friends across the street where I live. They just bought themselves a, I guess it's called a fifth wheel, right? Is that what they call it?
Yeah, the fifth wheel hooks into the middle of the bed and it has the thing that goes over the truck.
Yes.
Tow behind, obviously, is a tow behind.
Yeah, yeah. They just got one of those and they're so thrilled. They bought a brand new one, you know, so thrilled and happy. I saw a bunch of their pictures over the weekend and just like we've been saying, it's a thing. There was a story on national news a couple weeks ago about, you know, people are rediscovering this whole idea of getting a trailer, you know, and going camping these different camp grounds. And the photos they showed, and I don't remember exactly where they were at, but wherever it was, they were staying on a beautiful lake and at night a bunch of other people, you know, all kind of coming together to go around a campfire. And is that the kind of stuff you do?
Yeah, that's an oddly communal thing. You always wait. I've never met an a-hole camping. And all the times we've been for the last 3 or 4 years, all the trips we've made, we've never met anybody who is cross at a camping trip. Everybody's cool. Everybody wants to help. And it's just kind of always awesome. We don't like party with them because then things get weird when you mix an alcohol with strangers. You know?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And then but, you know. Oh, yeah. Swinging, sure. Yeah. Maybe?
Just me and all the dudes. there are so many. You know, Florida is one of these places very magical for this lifestyle simply because there are so many places. You know, if you want to do the coastal thing, as many opportunities you want around the horn, honestly, of Florida, you can go. There are hundreds of campgrounds. And then if you want to do the state park thing like we did, the Itchtuckney Springs, you could do that as well. And there are tons, again, of springs that are diveable, swimmable, little hidden places like our place, Bob's River Place on the Suwannee River.
How far away is it?
2.5 hours.
Oh, okay.
What is the most for you? What's the part that is the least fun? Like it's probably pretty easy hooking up all the. Yeah. You can just plug in and.
Yeah, setting up is actually doesn't take that long at all. Like 20-30 minutes. My wife and I have a. We have a little plan. You know, we get in there. I do all the outside stuff. She does the inside stuff. So when I'm done, I walk in. Everything's good to go. Fridge is packed up. Blah 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 blah. Packing up is no fun.
Yeah.
You know, packing up, because, you know, packing up, not only not being fun, packing the camper up, cleaning everything up, it's been raining for 4 or 5 days, everything's wet, it also is representative of an end of that particular trip, and, you know, it's never fun leaving a campground. It's one of those places, even this week, I was like, God, I literally could stay in the middle of these woods for 2 weeks and be the happiest guy ever.
Do you have rules, like don't use the bathroom? Like, for me, that's the one thing about trailers and the boat, was getting rid of the... Yeah. Sewage, pardon.
So when you buy one, they let you know right up front, you know, Uber take care of this. Because it can ruin every other aspect of your camping trip. Yeah. So, you know, we have some rules.
Make the whole place stink if you don't do it right.
I usually choose to use the facilities bathroom almost all the time, you know, but my wife does not choose to do that. So, you know, when it comes to that, I have to take care of that. And there is a process. The new tanks have this sprinkler system inside, for lack of a better word. You hook up water to it, you turn it on, and the inside of what they call the black tank. There's the gray tank, which has your shower and sink water.
Yeah.
The black tank has your sewage.
Is it a bigger, more girthy tank?
The gray tanks hold more because you're using more of that water than you are the other one.
Yeah,
but the other one has a sprinkler system inside. So you hook up to this one particular area, you turn it on, and it's got this thing that spins around that washes everything down. So you just let that run for probably about 10 minutes or so while you're pumping out, and you have no issues. Then you treat the tank properly, and you honestly, we've not smelled it one time.
Oh, that's good.
The entire time. You don't smell it at all, actually. Never been a part of our world in our Gamper.
That's one of those old school problems with those. So it would be, you know, you never knew how to do it right. You put chemicals in, and those chemicals are really, really like dark blue. And
yeah,
And
you don't know how to do it. It's going to be, that's the one thing we learned how to do immediately is take care of that, because again, that's the one thing that can ruin everything else.
Yeah, yeah.
That's love right there if you're willing to clean up after your wife like that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Ooh, that's true love. Yeah. But, you know, other than, oh God, I will tell you this. I thought I was a good lesson learner.
Uh-huh.
Like one of those things where, yeah, you get burned once and you're in.
I thought you were going to say, I thought I was a good lover.
No.
I never thought that.
You hung on that L just a little too long.
I was about to spit take a coffee all over the place. I was literally taking a sip and I was like, oh my God, what could this be?
I still think that nobody's blown it up yet, but chances are I'm not. So we took our little dog with us because she's 14, and you know we're trying to give her that last hurrah because we know she's, you know, she's had a bad heart murmur, beyond surgery type thing. So we're just taking her places.
You trying,
you know,
to let her out in the woods.
Yeah. and we were praying for an eagle, trust me.
Throwing raw meat around her.
Yeah, that's, you know,
a 90-year-old dog.
We actually took her harness, her little leash harness off in case a bird did get her. It didn't hurt the bird.
Yeah, right.
But we were at the pump out station because when, you know, the area we'd say this time does not have a sewage. So it only has power and water and that's it.
Okay.
You know?
Yeah.
So because where it is, the springs are there. They don't allow, you know, they don't allow a sewage system. I think they do septic tanks, but the campground is not state run. So they just didn't incur the cost of doing it. It's just one thing you deal with to be right outside the entrance of the park. I mean, literally we could walk there. They have a pump out station. So when you get done, you pull your camper around, you pump out all your bad water and stuff. You clean everything up. You know, everybody uses it. And we get out, our little dog's in there and my wife is doing a couple things. I'm doing a couple things and I'm up there and it's so hot. I mean, can't even think it's so hot at, you know, 10 o'clock in the morning and I'm pumping out. And of course it's not the most glorious job of all.
No,
you know,
talking
you're doing
about
the
your love
thing.
Life, yeah.
Right. And then I hear this. I'm covered in sweat. I've got the gloves up to my arm because you wear gloves when you do this, right? Yeah. I've got the gloves. I'm sweating. And I hear this. Maisie locked us out of the truck again.
How's Maisie do it?
Truck running. My wife gets out to take care of a couple things. We shut the door. The dog has a bad habit of getting up to look out the window.
Boom,
her paws stand on the lock for the door, the electronic lock.
Oh God!
Now,
God.
If you'll remember, famously, a few years back, there's a picture of her standing on the thing. She did that very thing at a gas station, and what you have to do is call her over and try to get her to pitter patter on the lock. For 20 minutes, we tried to do that as I'm sweating. People are just in line behind us.
God,
20
oh my,
minutes,
I'm so.
And I looked at her in the glass. I called her over, and I looked through the glass and said, you better pray to God. You better pray to God that this window opens. Because if not, I'm going to strangle you in front of people. I'm going to call a crowd over. Come watch me strangle this dog.
The dog's in the car. The AC's running.
Oh.
The dog's fine.
And here's the best thing.
Oh, that's
dog
great.
Starts drinking my coffee and stops listening to everything. She's scavenging around for dropped beef jerky. And
did
she knows.
Video this?
Oh, no.
Oh, damn.
We wanted to call a locksmith. Guess where the phones were?
Oh,
in the truck. So we.
And people are behind you going, hey, we want to.
Finally, she steps on the rear window mechanism and drops the window 2 inches so we could get something in there to to do the lock.
That's funny, dude.
Wow.
When's Maisie's funeral?
She's like, y'all trying to leave me out here? I'm keeping y'all out here.
Yeah, she got lost in the woods. I don't know what happened.
Yeah, I don't know what happened. All right, listen, when we come back, it'll be time to win some stuff. You might want to get on the line. The telephone number to dial is 1-888-978-1041. You're listening to The Monster of the Morning.
Now that we've all quit Facebook and started talking to each other again, you want me to sign a petition?
It's a serious problem.
To bring back Snickerdoodle Coffee Creamer. Facebook.com/RealRadioOrlando.
From Real Radio. Real Radio 104.1.
All rise. All rise. All rise.
Grandpa Lar in the house now.
TRRR Segment 7 is brought to you by WeAreNotTheBanks.com. Brad Siebert and his staff are licensed lenders that can help you buy a home. They've helped me by my house, my daughter. A lot of people I know will be able to use wearenotthebanks.com. Brad Siebert can definitely help you if you want to buy a house. If you got great credit, he can get you a great interest rate. If you have poor credit, well, they still can help you. If your credit score is 580 or less, they still can help you get a loan. So give them a call at 407-636-9808 for wearenotthebanks.com. That's wearenotthebanks.com. Ask about their free appraisal and free home warranty offer. It's wearenotthebanks.com. Licensed lenders that can help you out today. Wearenotthebanks.com. 407-636-9808. Give them a call. Welcome back to the Monsters Mornings on Real Radio 104.1. We got some prizes for you, so let's see what we get. By the way, I'm Russ Rollins. I'm with Dirty Jim, Carlos, Ryan Holmes, and now Angel's going to tell you what we got.
The Price You Got is brought to you by Cento Family Moving and Storage. It's a family-owned and operating company offering both residential and commercial moving services for businesses all over the country. Fully trained expert moving crew, adept in packing, furniture handling, safe driving, and excellent customer service. You go to the website, that's centomoving.com, C-E-N-T-O-moving.com. That's C-E-N-T-O-moving.com. You hit the start quote button, put your information there, let them know you heard about it here on Real Radio 104.1 Monsters in the Morning, and there's a discount for you. That's Cento Family Moving and Storage. Up first, we got a Wassey's Meat gift pack included.
Oh, yeah.
This is awesome. Wassey's Signature Rubs. You got the classic steak rub.
We got that. That's good.
We got the sweet and smoky rib rub. We got the vintage sunshine that you can use on everything from your chicken, from your fish to your salads. It's perfect.
Vintage sunshine.
And
then
you got the maple reserve and a t-shirt and sunglasses.
Stop right there. Do whatever you have to do to get yourself a bottle of the maple reserve. Whatever you got to do. Steal.
Not steal.
Heist.
Maybe heist.
Kidnap. Whatever it is.
Kidnapping.
I did thick cut pork chops with that maple reserve on the grill this weekend, and the sugar in there caramelizes with the fat on the meat, and it is unbelievable.
Thanks.
Seriously, that package is amazing.
It's a lot of fun, and thanks for making me hungry already. Thanks. I appreciate
God,
that.
So good.
All right, so we got one of those. We also have pair of tickets to WWE SmackDown Live on Tuesday, August the 7th at Amway Center.
What?
We got AJ Styles. We got Samoa Joe. Tickets are on sale right now. Visit realradio.fm, keyword tickets, for more information.
And the tickets we have are good ones, right?
The ones that you're, like, for the road, you got to go online.
Okay, yeah.
These ones, you got to go monsters.fm and follow that. Because
they got the first five rows, yeah.
Yeah, something like that. And, but I am not certain. I mean, you're in the building with these tickets. So.
Yeah.
And then we wrap it up with this, and this is going to be awesome. We got a pair of tickets to the Monster Jam Triple Threat Series, and that's going down to Amway Center on August the 18th.
Girl.
Tickets are on sale right now. Visit realradio.fm keyword events. You're asking, you're sitting there, you're going, what's a Monster Jam Triple Threat Series? And I'm going to tell you, the Monster Jam Triple Threat Series at the Arena Tour is an entirely different format than what we get to see the monster trucks at the stadium. This upcoming tour features eight of the most talented Monster Jam drivers competing on three different vehicles inside the Amway. We've got the Monster Jam Speedsters, Monster Jam ATVs, and then the Monster Jam trucks all inside that space. It's going to be ridiculous. So we got tickets to that, and as we get closer to that event, we got more things that we're going to be doing as part of this as the Monster, so keep in tune with that. And those are the prizes in today's Prize Pinata.
Thanks, Angel. 407-916-1041 or toll free. It's 1-888-978-1041. Hello, Adam. What's up? How you doing, man? Hey, are you on your way to work now? Are you driving?
Yeah, I'm driving.
All right, well, be careful. I got a trivia question for you. If you get it right, you can take whatever prize you want. If you don't get it, then you can have one of the monsters help you out, whether it's Ryan Holmes or Dirty Jim, Angel or Carlos. I've got two trivia questions. One is has to do with inventions, history and inventions, and another one is a music question. Which one would you prefer?
Let me do the invention.
All right, very good. All right, so here's your question. If you get it right, take the prize. If not, one of the monsters can help you. Name the item. It's an item. Name the item that was invented in England in the 1800s to punish prisoners that people still use to this day. It was invented in the 1800s to punish prisoners.
Okay. The only thing that comes off would be a whip.
A whip is incorrect. Who do you want to help you? You've got Dirty Jim, you've got Angel, Carlos, or Ryan Holmes.
It's funny how much that little laugh that you just did said, really. That said, I should have picked the music question.
Yeah. Let's Let's go, Dirty Jim.
All right, Jimmy, name the item that is used to this day. Now, we don't think of it as a torture item, but the use of this day, it was invented in England in the 1800s to punish the prisoners.
All right, man. Wow, there's so many things that you use in everyday life that really could wind up being torture devices if you think like that. Wow. You know, oddly enough, I will say this, just as probably the cook in me coming out. Russ, this is the worst guess ever, sir. I'm just going to give you a heads up. You sound like an awesome guy. Is it the garlic press?
The garlic press is incorrect. No, not a bad guess, actually.
No, it's awful. But I
don't want to get garlic pressed again.
I mean, could you imagine a gnat in one of those?
Oh, yeah.
There you go.
Oh,
man. Now my guess doesn't seem that stupid.
I think it was a good guess. Brian, you're on Real Radio. How you doing, Brian?
Good morning, fellas.
Hey, buddy. Name the item that was invented in England in the 1800s to punish prisoners, but now people still use it to this day.
People still use it, or the prisoners still use it?
Prisoners don't use
it. There ain't no way, right?
People use it, and they're probably using it right now while they're listening to us. Just gave you an extra hint.
Electric chair.
Electric chairs. No, there's nobody using the electric chair.
Every
right
home
now.
In the 1800s had one.
Who do you want to help you? You've got Angel, Carlos, or Ryan Holmes.
All right, failed me last time. I'm gonna give him a second chance. Let's go, Ryan Holmes.
Ryan,
oh, pressure's on you.
And I'm gonna give. I'm gonna give Ryan Holmes a bit of a little hint.
What are you doing?
Because I want to see if he was paying attention on a particular day.
Okay.
Now, as soon as I give,
there's a quiz involved too.
As soon as I give you this hint, these two are going to get it right away.
Ooh.
But we'll see. Okay.
Okay.
Name the item that was invented in England in the 1800s to punish prisoners. A lot of people are probably using it right now, and I don't know if you were paying attention or not. But Johnny Magic has one in his green room.
Oh, cycle bike thing. What do you call that thing? Treadmill.
Treadmill's the answer. There you go. Congratulations. That's what it is. Treadmill. No. Let me put you on hold, sir. You're a winner. Oh, thanks to Ryan Holmes.
Yeah. That was anticlimactic.
First win.
It's his
first
win.
That's my first win. I'm taking it.
Like I said, it was all anticlimactic.
Did you know it?
No, I was going to say headphones because you said they were listening to us right now.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And I thought maybe some like old school like you know thing that applies pressure and then I don't know. It was a horrible guess.
I thought maybe an iron.
I was going to go with rectal thermometer.
Oh, okay. That's good.
George Foreman grill.
No, yeah. They said the treadmill, and they would make the prisoners like walk on it all day long. So that was like
they were fit.
That was punishment. So yeah, they were fit, right? But yeah, of course, we still use a treadmill to this day. Do you guys like the treadmill at the gym?
Oh, I hate a treadmill. Yeah. I'll go run and do it, but the treadmill is the most boring thing on the planet. You can't make it better. You can wear headphones and sort of deal with it, but it
even
sucks.
The ones that have the screen that show you walking through the Irish countryside,
yeah,
it's lame. You're still walking on a belt.
Yeah.
Next to some fat lady dressed with way too much stuff on.
You know the treadmill is the biggest con job in the health fitness industry, right?
Why? What do you say?
You sure it's not the elliptical?
Well, all of those. Like the treadmill, you're not really running. Like it's fake running as opposed to really running.
Yeah,
right.
And you know,
because you're not moving your weight really. Your legs are just going along with the.
There's a whole science behind it that basically proves that what you do on the treadmill by no stretch compares to actually getting out and running in the real world.
So I guess the belt as it's moving under you, when your foot goes down, that force it would usually push you forward. Actually, it's just keeping you there. So,
yes, right.
So you're not really pushing the weight, yeah. I guess, but you still sweat.
Yeah, but you're sweating because you're doing an activity.
Cardio. Your cardio is getting up.
Yeah, as opposed to when you're actually running, and you're putting that kind of stress and those calories and that sweat and that energy in a real run.
What do you guys feel a difference like more of a man when you bump it up to like 7?
No.
To like, if you're at 4, you're kind of like, I'm kind of a bitch right now.
Didn't even know it had 5.
I will go into competition with somebody next to me.
Yeah, you got
on the treadmill.
And they don't even know it, do they?
No, yeah. They have no idea. And then like it's usually a lady, and she's doing way better than me. And I'm like, I can't look like a wuss right now. And then I'm tired, and I'm winded, and I'm like, why am I doing this to myself?
I also have these delusions of grandeur as I'm sitting at another weight bench, and I look at the treadmill, and I'm like, today's the day. Today's the day I start running.
Yeah.
6 miles on the treadmill.
You ever,
every
you
day.
Ever do? You're on the treadmill and you're like, someone's going to walk to that door and go, "That's the guy we need. He's going to make out our squad. Look at that, look at that form on the treadmill."
It's always some 25-year-old chick in yoga pants running so fast that you only hear her feet hit the thing like once every 10 seconds.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
I mean, because she's just in gallop, man. It's crazy.
That's not even the worst one. Like, because now with the big butt trend is ladies are always doing squats.
Yes.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
A lady can squat, man. Oh, yeah. And, like, my heaviest is, like, wow, dude, their warm-up. And it's just I won't even do the squat machine because I'm like, this is embarrassing.
You know what's embarrassing is listening to Bob. Bob was over at Universal, and he's lost a lot of weight, and he lost all this weight by running.
Yeah.
And he was trying
5K a day.
He was trying to explain it to us how he ran, I think he ran a 4K
it's a 5K
that morning.
A day. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I was hoping he was going to get me inspired in some way. I said, well, you probably love it now, right? He goes, no, I don't love it now. I'm like, well, when did you start to like it? Still don't like
it.
Yeah,
I hate it.
Still,
yeah.
I still hate it.
I love that he says that, too, because
being honest, though, yeah.
Yeah, I know.
And look, he's literally walking a lot, and he's lost a massive amount of weight. It's not rocket science. It just takes hardcore discipline.
Dedication.
Consistency, dedication, that's all it is.
Nah, I want a pill. Just give me the pill.
I want the pill. Russ has tried to find the pill over and over again.
He's been searching
for the pill forever, and I don't think it really exists. I don't know.
You had it, though, at one time, the one that would fill up your stomach.
I did. I went out, a buddy of mine is into these. He and his wife are just into these, what do you call pyramid scheme things, right? Uh-huh. And he's like, Russ, we've got to fly out to Utah. I know a guy.
Strike one.
Who's invented
Utah,
this
capital
thing,
of.
And it's going to change. Yeah, it's the capital of
it's the world capital of what they call it. It's not they don't
multi-level marketing.
Multi-level marketing. Yeah.
I don't think they use the word scheme.
They don't.
I'm going to go out on a limb and say scheme is not in the marketing program.
I kept saying it when I was there, and they would look at me funny.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
So my buddy, who I've known since kindergarten, we're very, very close, and he's like, come on, let's you and I fly out. This is going to be the next big thing. I'm like, what is it? Because they'll explain it when we get there. I'm like, okay, fine, whatever. It's giving me an opportunity to hang out with my friend. So we go out to Utah, and he's really thinking we're going to be millionaires now. I'm like, okay, whatever.
Already spending the money.
I've already bought two tanks.
So we get to this place, and it's a big facility. I mean, they must have rented it or something. I don't know. And when you meet the guy who's a CEO, and they've got a nice big boardroom, I'm like, man, this is a big deal.
So
he's like, and they're making this presentation to me and Scott Hoxter for some reason. I mean, you know, so we sit down at this big boardroom.
With your business minds.
Yeah, no, there's a reason.
And with my business mind. And he's like, well, here's what we've invented, right? And had this glass of water. And basically, you've probably have seen this whole thing in some sort of a magic kit or whatever. But he takes this stuff and he pours it in a glass of water, and it turns into gel.
Whoa, mama!
And he said, "Listen, here's what happens when you take this pill: all the water in your belly turns into gel.
Are you a wizard?
And it makes you feel full. And this is going to revolutionize weight loss." And I got to tell you, at the time, I'm like, oh, "Damn, he's right. This is the next big thing. Where do I sign? Where do I give me mine? I want some."
So the whole glass of water turned into a gel substance
within seconds.
And you thought that was good for the human body?
Well, they said it was
fat
fine.
Also a gel substance, by the way.
Yeah, I know, but this was like, yeah, that's true.
So what ended up happening?
I guess the gel was just water, and then it would dissipate, and but it made you feel full all the time.
But did it
was
work?
No, it was all crap.
No, I disagree. It did work.
It
worked for them.
That's the same theory as sea monkeys. You know that, right?
Yeah.
Oh, right. Yeah. All right, we have another trivia question we can do when we come back. You're listening to The Mantra of the Morning. I'll tell you one thing I did on Universal Weekend is I went on a t-shirt tear. They got some cool t-shirts out there, man. I got this Star Trek one. I've never had a Star Trek t-shirt. I'm like, oh, I got it. Like, everyone has Star Wars. Nobody has Star Trek. So I had to get a Star Trek t-shirt. And then we started drinking a little more. There was an Irish place over there. And I found my coat of arms for the very first time. I was looking for it. When I actually went to Ireland, I found a coat of arms for my mom's maiden name, which is O'Halloran. I found that, but I'd never seen the Rollins one, and they had.
Was it just you in Utah?
No, it's three swords. Is basically all it is,
all right.
with a thing around it. But that was I found it at that Irish place in Universal, and then every T-shirt looked good. I'm like, I got
three swords would be an awesome English bar.
I got that one. I got that T-shirt. I got that. Like every T-shirt looked look great.
Yeah.
So I went on a t-shirt tear, which was which was a lot of fun. Oh, another thing, too, I want to tell you guys. So remember Manny that came in? Food Network star.
Our chef, Chef Manny.
The chef, from Orlando, Orlando firefighter. Last night was the finale. Bobby Flay, I think, was there. Like, everybody from the Food Network was there to present to our buddy Manny the most horrible thing in the world. There was a tie.
Oh.
The other two people won.
Oh.
poor Manny.
Are you kidding?
I kid you not. The other two people won. The Italian guy he was telling us about and the Asian girl, they both won, but Manny did not.
So there were three people in contention, and two of them won.
Yeah,
that's horrible.
It is kind of bad, isn't it?
Shame on them for doing that.
I went and looked at it, and boy, he looked good, man. He was in a red suit. He had a bow tie on. He looked happy, ready to go. But the other two won.
You know what, man? He still needs to just celebrate, enjoy this, because he's gonna leap off from here with definitely some good stuff.
Wow, man, that's crazy.
I know.
I wouldn't have allowed that if I was a producer of that show. I'd be like, hell no, we're not gonna disrespect the other two people. We're gonna have one winner. We have to have a winner because it looks ridiculous. To have a tie.
when there's just three of them, it's like these two are good. This one we're not.
Yeah. And what they're really saying is we need a show that deals with Asian food. We need a show that deals with Italian food. We have all the barbecue shows you need.
I guess
maybe so. Who knows? I mean, the producers obviously have a plan. You don't go into a situation like this in Next Star and don't have like a vehicle for both of them. Maybe they just have a vehicle for that guy.
Well, you know, I would have thought the vehicle for him was so obvious.
The firehouse thing
was
great.
Go to each firehouse and see who's the best cook in each firehouse, and you can go up against each other. Like, man, there was such a great gimmick there. But God bless him. He knew, Manny knew going into it that it was going to be a tie, and he didn't win. He still had his party. He still had people go out to Harry Buffalo. He still came in here to promote it. What a great guy, right?
Oh, wow. So it wasn't a live reveal. He knew the result.
He knew the result. He came in here and promoted and talked to us about it and everything, knowing that...
Two people won and he didn't?
And we're sitting here breaking it down, remember? Because we were like...
Oh, you definitely won because, oh, man, you wouldn't be stupid enough to have a party if you didn't. Oh!
That is kind of what he said.
I do remember watching that on YouTube because I was at home that day and I was watching on the YouTube channel and I was like, after the show, because... during the breaks, you guys talk and stuff, and you're talking. You're like, "Oh man, you deserve this," blah blah. And I'm just like, "This would be the most awkward conversation if you knew you didn't win
the whole time." He knew he didn't win the entire time he came to talk to us about it.
It's all right.
What a great guy, though, man. He represented Orlando well. When I read the article, they talked about the other two people that won, and then the very last line it says,
"By the way,
they both beat Manny." I forget his last name now.
I think it's Manny JB.
Manny Washington, I think it was.
Don't say
I think it's Manny Washington. They both beat... beating fellow contestant Manny Washington, a firehouse chief from Orlando, Florida. That's the only mention he got at the end.
Wow. I have to tell you, the weird thing about firehouse food is a lot of it is, like stews, I guess, and stuff like that, because if you have like 10 or 20 people you're cooking for, individual entrees would be difficult, you know?
Yeah.
But, man, that does seem like a really cool kind of thing to do. I wonder if they thought that it would just get repetitive and that, you know, hey, here we are at another firehouse at just some really remote location, and I have to make something that all these fire people like. Maybe it's up in Wisconsin when they're used to, some dish, and I've got to cook in Louisiana, and they like this, and, kind of showing their chops a little bit. I mean, that does sound like a pretty good idea.
Yeah. Well, it definitely wasn't Manny's personality because the guy was...
we got plenty of that.
So, anyway. All right, we'll do the trivia question when we come back. You're listening to the Mantra of the Morning.
Orlando City treks to our nation's capital to take on DC United Sunday. Coverage begins at 5:30 p.m. on our sister station, FM 96.9 The Game, AM 740, and iHeartRadio. From the...
Hey, welcome back to the Monsters of the Morning on Real Radio 104.1, broadcasting live on iHeartRadio. I'm Russ Rollins, along with Dirty Jim, Angel, and Carlos, and Ryan Holmes all here today. And we still have a couple prizes left in the prize pinata, right, Angel?
Yes, we do.
Anything good?
No, it's all horrible.
Okay, good.
I don't even know why these people are holding.
Which one is everybody holding for?
Well, if they were holding for the Monster Jam, those are already gone.
Okay,
so
all right.
We have WWE tickets WWE and tickets. The Wassies
both are great. Okay, very good. Hey,
are they though?
They are great.
Okay,
Adam, you're on Real Radio 104.1. How you doing?
Good. How you doing?
Hey, buddy, I got a trivia question for you. If you get it right, you can take a prize. If you don't get it, then you've got Dirty Jim, Angel, Carlos, or Ryan Holmes that can help you. All right.
All right. Let's do good.
All right. Wait for my music. Makes it really.
Ah, hold on.
It really makes it, you know.
More real.
Yeah, more real.
More real. Like,
it makes it better. Dun, dun, dun.
There you go.
There
you
go. Line.
Yeah, there you go. All right, here we go. This is, it's the 60th anniversary of Billboard, okay? So they're celebrating their 60th anniversary, and we had a list the other day of the songs that they said were, like, the best charting songs, and they were terrible.
They were terrible.
I mean, it was not a really good list, but this is what Billboard is putting out. So they're putting out something different, I think, every week, just to kind of remind you that they're still there after 60 years. So with the hot singles chart, this is the top 100 artist of all time. So what artist do you think, as far as Billboard is concerned, is the hottest artist of all time?
The hottest artist of all time. Damn.
I like that Britney Spears.
I'm going to go with the Beatles.
Yeah, that's the number one answer, the Beatles. Very good. Woo! I figured you would get it. Let me put you on hold. Take whatever prize you want. And that is the number one answer for the hottest artist of all time, the Beatles. Now, that was not surprising at all, really. What surprises me is who they have for number two. Anyone want to take a guess who you think is number two for the hottest artist of all time, according to Billboard magazine?
Mariah Carey.
Mariah Carey is number... Hold on. Mariah Carey was on here. Hold on. She is number five.
Five, huh?
Yeah, she's number five.
I'm going to go with Pitbull.
No.
That'd be a good one. That'd be a lot of Billboard hits.
Madonna.
Yeah. I don't even know how you got that. Madonna.
Yeah, she has a
massive superstar. Yeah, I don't know if you're staying relevant for maybe four decades.
Yeah, she's had one. And yeah.
But this much 80s, like 90s, 2000s.
Yeah. Much like the other list where it makes no sense. Where's Michael Jackson on this list?
Michael Jackson's number eight.
What?
Where's Tekashi 6ix9ine?
Lil Uzi Vert?
A string of number one Billboard.
G-Eazy, maybe?
Now, I would have thought, in second place, I would have guessed Elvis Presley, because, I mean, the King, and he had a string
again,
of hits.
King died at 42.
Yeah.
I mean, his legacy didn't get to continue on, although he was a massive star for a long time, you know, and the Beatles really made all their albums in a relatively short period of time, did they not?
Yeah, that was just 5 years, right?
List is bogus, because it doesn't have this song.
Who's this?
Gerardo.
Oh.
Oh, yeah, Geraldo.
Yeah.
Rico Suave.
No. That was an actor, too.
So, number four on the list was Elvis Presley. He came in fourth.
So I thought Rihanna would be...
Rihanna is...
Has a bunch of them.
Rihanna is in 10th place.
Yeah. So, we're still looking for number three, though, correct?
Yeah, yeah. Who do you think came in third? These are the hottest artists of all time, according to Billboard magazine.
Let's see here.
I'll go Lady Gaga.
Not in the top 10.
Okay.
Wow. I never understand the algorithms of this list, because we did this on Friday, and they're like, it's based on YouTube views now, and blah, blah, blah. And it's like, how can you possibly figure this out?
And shelf life of an artist now is considerably smaller than it used to be. To have hits, I mean, Lady Gaga is really a great example. To have hits that last a long time, like Taylor Swift has done a very good job staying relevant for a very long time. My kids started listening to Taylor Swift when they were 12 and 13 years old.
Right.
And now they're in their 20s, mid-20s, and they still want to see her. She's still relevant.
What about Beyonce?
Not in the top 10.
Huh.
It's funny you say that, Jim, because I was having that conversation. The shelf life is short. So I was hanging out with Carlos and Vince, and Vince brought his daughter Kiki. And then my girlfriend says, oh, she must hate that song is out. That's going to affect her forever. I'm like, no, it's not like the song Jenny. You know, like, people named Jenny always going to have that song about them.
Yeah.
867-5309. But this Kiki song will be gone in 6 months.
Yeah.
Here's what's funny. Okay, so when you get this is Billboard magazine. And what's it, the Rolling Stone does sometimes. They give you the ridiculous list just so you can argue about it and raise hell.
Yeah, I mean, it has to be based on something.
Yeah, the difference that Billboard has is that they have all the information.
Okay.
Now, this is all to numbers. They have it all there. They have to be that specific and that authentic with it, or it blows up their whole business plan.
This doesn't seem that this list doesn't seem that far.
I don't know.
In seventh place is Janet Jackson.
Sure.
In eighth place is Michael Jackson.
Yeah.
So she is hotter than Michael Jackson?
No. But you guys are Billboard hits.
Yeah, you guys are not taking into account that, for example, Michael Jackson missed out. Of course, he had MTV, but he didn't have YouTube.
Right.
YouTube is a huge part of how these numbers are being measured now. They are accounting for that. For a long time, Billboard didn't take that into consideration. The streaming numbers, again, both those artists weren't around for the blowing up of streaming.
The Beatles weren't either.
Difference with the Beatles is that transcends generational.
Yeah. Let me interject here real quick. Michael Jackson, unlike Janet Jackson, has the greatest selling album
of all time.
Thriller, yeah. Ever.
Yeah, yeah.
There's no way he should be below 5 on that list.
I agree.
And I don't, if Janet Jackson wasn't on the list ever, I would be like, okay, she doesn't deserve to even be near the top 10.
You're going off of your personal preference about these artists. They're going off of numbers, and they have the numbers to back these things up. It's not just sales, Jimmy. It's also streaming. It's also YouTube views. It's all these other things that they have to account for. Again,
but
Billboard.
Even then, though, Janet Jackson hasn't been relevant for a decade, dude.
But she's not relevant to you, but she's still selling out tours, and she's still making records.
Yeah, I guess.
So, name a Janet Jackson song real fast. Go.
Yeah, Black Cat.
If.
Exactly.
Rhythm Nation.
The one I know would be Scream, and that's with Michael Jackson.
Yeah.
So number one is the Beatles. Number two is Madonna.
I'm not saying she's important to me. She's selling to other people.
I bet you couldn't find 100 people that would say she belongs in the top 10.
We're in a room full of guys. Her music was never meant for any of us.
But we agree with Mariah Carey, and I agree with Madonna. I mean, I'd guessed her. I mean, all those people are impactful. Madonna still makes news to this day. What's Janet Jackson got to do to make news?
What was the last story that you heard about Madonna?
Just recently, she's moving to Portugal, isn't she?
Jimmy.
That made noise. Yeah. I think she just announced she's moving to Portugal because she hates the president so much.
Jimmy is pissed that Shania Twain's not on this.
No. She should be, though.
So, but Mariah Carey didn't make music for me, and Fantasy is one of the greatest songs ever written.
So Fantasy is great
because of the remix with
the sample from the Tom Tom Club.
Yeah.
Number two is Madonna. Who do you guys think is in third place?
Male or female?
It's a male.
Bruno Mars?
And he came above Elvis.
Bruce Springsteen?
No.
Billy Joel.
Elton John.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's understandable.
Elton John. Okay, then you got Elvis Presley, then Mariah Carey, and then Stevie Wonder is in sixth place.
Yeah. Oh, Stevie Wonder's great, though.
No one's arguing with Stevie.
No. Whitney Houston came in ninth place.
I would not argue with Whitney.
And then Rihanna is in 10th. And that
one's even kind of wonky to me because she's so new. But, I mean, you know, she has made, I mean, it's like every week there's a Rihanna song on there. Yeah. I don't know. She just seems to be in the right place at the right time. And she's incredibly talented.
Yeah.
And very marketable.
Is Drake on this list at all? Because he's all over right now.
No, it's just they just do the top 10.
Oh, okay.
The 10, it says the 10 hottest artists of all time. But, so I guess they do take in account for all the new stuff, like he was saying with the, YouTube and everything. But, Madonna, does Madonna have a lot of YouTube presence?
You know, I do a lot of live shows. I'm not a DJ like Angel, but I'm constantly playing music while I'm doing it, and like when I'm doing trivia shows, and I'll play a Madonna song. They don't hit at the same way like a Whitney Houston song will hit for the crowd. Mm-hmm. So it's that and Wilson Phillips. People really love Wilson Phillips.
In the streaming thing, if you look at the top of the artists, I mean, none of those people were making music during the streaming era. None of them.
Yeah.
So, I mean, the top artists really made an impact back in the day that lasted a very, very long time. I mean, you look at Madonna's career started in 1983.
Right.
83 or 84 when she made a Lucky Charm or whatever it was. Think about that, man. 83 was her first tune, and that chick still could release an album and tour and sell out stadiums if she wanted to.
Does she release new stuff now, Angel? Is like new stuff from Madonna?
Yeah, she goes like every 3 or 4 years in between albums. Yeah.
Do you know how many number one hits Janet Jackson had?
I don't know.
33.
Really?
33 number one hits. 20 number ones in the U.S. Number one, you know, we're thinking the U.S. here, right?
Yeah.
And this is global.
Yeah, yeah.
So... it's weird. We do this all the time, not on simple things like this, but like on major important decisions in our life. We make decisions based on our own assumptions and when the data is incorrect.
But we typically, I think most people would think that Michael Jackson is a bigger star, a bigger deal than Janet.
Yes. Yeah. I think.
Like way bigger.
Yeah, but you're we're not comparing apples to apples here. No one's ever going to say that Michael Jackson wasn't or isn't the biggest star ever.
Billboard is.
But what Billboard has that none of us have, and that's why we're going on off of our own personal beliefs or what we feel as opposed to concrete evidence that they use. Because, again, if Billboard wasn't accurate with this, then they're basically the music version of what Nielsen is.
Yeah, they're not going off of their feelings.
They have numbers. They have to be reputable.
Ready? How many number one hits did Michael Jackson have?
So he said Janet Jackson,
33.
Okay, 34.
Michael Jackson had 13 number one hits.
Wow.
This number includes a number one hit with Paul McCartney, Ebony and Ivory, right? That was it, yeah. And then four number one hits as a member of the Jackson 5. Wow. So, I mean, it's...
You got to understand that what happens there in the evolution of the way that music is consumed. When Michael Jackson, at his heyday, he's selling albums.
Yeah.
By the time Janet Jackson comes around and she's doing it, she's selling singles.
Right, right.
You know, that by that point, even the music industry is starting to change. Janet is selling CDs. Michael was selling... Thriller was an album.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? So that's... You've got to take those...
It was vinyl.
An album with like five number ones, right?
Yeah, you got to take those market shifts as they come as well. You know, for example, where's the Rolling Stones on that list?
No, not on it. You know,
that's amazing, right?
Right?
The Eagles.
Rolling Stones are still considered one of the most iconic rock bands of all time. Where's Guns N' Roses on that list?
And they didn't rule out bands because the Beatles are there.
Yeah,
so
right.
So all those bands, you're right, and all those bands did not make it.
All right, ready? How many number one hits did the Beatles have?
Wow, I'm going to say 52.
No, they had 27.
Oh, wow.
Well, yeah, they didn't make many albums.
Yeah, exactly. It was like their pound for pound album to, you know, hit ratio was ridiculous.
During the Beatles time, music radio, FM is just starting to blow up. They're playing every song off a Beatles album, you know what I mean?
Yeah, totally. You listen to the Beatles album, and you're like, that song was a hit.
That song was a hit.
Yeah. I've done that. I literally have listened to all of them, and you're like, wow.
And they're only a band for like 8 years.
I know, man.
That's crazy.
I know.
I only just got into the Beatles recently. Like, I just never did it.
Yeah.
And going back and listening, I'm like, oh, this sounds like every song I know now.
Yeah,
like, they influenced music so heavily, I just never realized
Here's one of the things that people texted in, why isn't Prince on that list? Here's the thing. Mm-hmm. Prince was iconic. Prince was a huge star. But
I don't think he had that many hits.
After Purple Rain... He didn't, like, as far as albums go, everything was considered, like, a cult classic kind of thing, you know? Sign of the Times, you know, those...
Batman.
Yeah, those things. So, as far as volume goes, his biggest record, I want to say, is probably Purple Rain's the soundtrack album, you know?
Yeah.
That guy has a vault, of thousands of songs that he just never released.
But you know a bunch of that is garbage.
It's gotta be good.
The first one that we're gonna get to see is gonna be the soundtrack of Spike Lee's new movie.
Oh, really?
One of the first songs available.
Black Klansman or whatever?
Yeah, one of those songs that never was released to the public makes it to that soundtrack.
Hmm. How many hits, number one hits, did Rihanna have?
Oh, she's got a lot. She just broke some sort of a record, I believe.
Yeah. She has 15 number one singles, 19 hit singles. A lot of these are the singles, and I wonder how much like ringtones come into play and all these.
Do
things.
People still buy ringtones? That's a thing.
Yeah,
ringtones, streaming, all that stuff now is way more important than actual physical units sold.
All right, last one. How many number one hits does Alabama have?
Alabama?
Yes.
I'm gonna say 22.
Alabama bass group had 18 number one songs in the country world.
Wow.
You're not asking the important question of how many hits does Kiss have?
Oh,
how many? I don't think
it's two, right?
I don't think they have a number one hit. I don't think so.
No, you have to get into that Garth Brooks world. Then it gets real sketchy, right? Because, I mean, that dude like had how many number ones in like 4 years?
Yeah.
I mean, seemingly the country, he was never off the charts in the top 10 for 4 or 5 years?
But I guess if you don't cover all genres, like you have to break more like overall number one, I guess. I don't know. Yeah, I mean, let's see. How many Garth Brooks have? 19. 19 number one hits on the U.S. country chart.
On the U.S. country chart. Yeah.
And 128 million now.
People are, like, you know, again, these lists are so impossible to, you know, get close to because, you know, what about the Beach Boys? You know, you look at the Beach Boys, and for about 7 years, all the Beach Boys did was define how you lived your life.
Yeah.
They sold California to America successfully, album after album, nowhere near that.
You know what happens with the Beach Boys, though? That sound got stereotypical.
Yeah.
And so even how great their album, like Pet Sounds, was probably one of the most, one of the greatest recorded albums ever, right? But for most people, they hear it and they instantly dismiss it as Beach Boys music or surf rock or this, that, whatever. And it doesn't get the credibility it should here in America. The rest of the world, that's a huge album. For the Beatles, it was a huge album. For Radiohead, that album is a huge album because of the way that it was recorded. You know what I mean?
I know like, George Strait has like 50 some odd number one hits on the country charts, but I don't know if any of those...
Think about this. When's the last time you actually heard a Beach Boys song on the radio, not using a commercial, not using a radio ad, not and like heard one of their songs?
With the Fat Boys?
Not even that. Like, think about it. We don't, like, in this market, we don't even have a oldie station anymore.
They use Kokomo to sell... suntan lotion.
That's right. George Strait has the record, if this information is correct, could be wrong, with the most number one singles.
Yes.
And it's 56.
56, yeah. Yeah, he's got a bunch. Hey, I want to remind you, this coming Friday, it's the Mazzer Back to School Skate Party with your host, Carlos B.
Yeah, man.
You went skating last week to kind of get the feel for it.
Yep, we'll be back this week as well to get a couple more runs in this Wednesday. I invite anybody who wants to come out, but the real party is this Friday, August 10th. It's going to be packed. It's going to be fun whether you skate or you don't. And there are some amazing prizes we're giving away. If you join the race and you win, you're going to win some badass prizes. If you do the couple skate, this is no joke. Pay attention, fellas. This could save your ass in the anniversary if you know how to skate.
Yeah, if you win the couple skate, I mean, did we have the sponsor's name?
It should be International
Diamond Center. Yes. We have $500 to the International Diamond Center for the best couple skate. So I get to host that.
It's a big deal, Russ. Are you ready? Because, like, you got to get out there and skate and tap them.
Well, I got to stand in one spot. And get them before, as they pass.
They're going to go around you.
What are you doing?
Basically, I'll be chasing couples around the skate rink is what's going to happen.
Somebody throw Russ a tow line.
If I see you coming towards me, trust me, I'm skating away.
Skating out of the way.
But there'll be two of you together, see?
So this has turned into a whole new game. Hey, listen, so the person that can stay away from Russ the longest, there we go. That's how you win.
But you got a couple skate to do it.
And we'll put a time limit on it because that way...
We have all night?
Oh, wait, what? You think I'm not going to be able to get them fast enough?
I don't know.
I'm sitting here thinking about, like, oh my god, these people literally could just haul ass around every time.
He's going to be setting up traps like Coyote from Looney Tunes.
I'm going to have to, I know. Well, you'll win $500 to the International Diamond Center, whoever is the best couple skate. And then we got Ryan Holmes and his
cotton candy bonanza.
Yeah. Are you ready to giving out cotton candy left and right?
Left, right, on skates, too. It's going to be very difficult.
A special ugly sloth man face can of popcorn.
Oh, nice. Maybe a little King of Denmark crown.
I'm not wearing a Burger King crown like they said.
That's what you need to do. You need a crown.
Why do you say those things?
Perfect.
It's from 6 to 8. Don't forget that. It's this Friday at Astro Skate. More information at monsters.fm. And bring your school supplies for a gift for teaching, because that's what the night is about. And remember to wear your school gear, too, and represent.
Don't forget to mention Savannah Snake Skate. She's very excited about it.
We are not going to forget about Savannah Snake Skate. Are you kidding me? I see a snake skate as long as the entire building going around, as if we are a Burmese python ready to kill our prey.
That sounds great. All right, what's this coming Friday? It's an Astro Skate, and it's a back-to-school skate party. But we're asking you, like I said, to bring some supplies to donate for Gift for Teaching. It's this coming Friday night. You're listening to The Monster of the Morning. Oh, when we come back, 6 things you knew we'd talk about, 6 stories from over the weekend. You knew we'd bring it up, you knew we'd talk about it, and you can win also an opportunity to win tickets for 2 to the iHeart Music Festival in Las Vegas, coming up in mere minutes. So you listen for that keyword, you text the keyword to 200-200, you know the drill, and you can win this incredible prize package. It's a trip for 2 to Vegas. You got 8 chances to win all day today. Your first one coming up here in about 2-3 minutes.
Started talking to each other again.
Hey, you want to see pictures of my new spice cabinet?
Okay. Facebook.com/RealRadioOrlando.
And welcome to the Monsters of the Morning on Real Radio 104.1, broadcasting live on iHeartRadio. Our website is monsters.fm. There's always cool stuff up there. Go check it out. I'm Russ Rollins, along with Dirty Jim, Carlos, Ryan Holmes, and Angel. And now we'll do the six things you knew we'd talk about. Six things from over the weekend. You knew we'd bring it up. You knew we'd talk about it. And if you get it right, we'll give you a prize from the prize pinata. Angel, did you have a situation this weekend?
Well, you guys just said something, and it triggered something that happened over the weekend. So, because we were out there on that side of town, and that's, you know, tourist haven kind of thing.
Yeah.
We went all in, doing all the touristy things. So, like, we went for breakfast on Sunday at Hash House of Go-Go.
Oh, yeah.
How was it?
That place, staff there loves us. Every single time I get a different server, and they're like, hey, just let the guys know that we listen to you guys all the time and everything. So,
shout out.
Yeah, huge shout out to Hash House of Go-Go. I love going there when I'm on that side of town. The service there, food there is impeccable. We also did one of the things, jumping into the Rings of Fire. Right. I thought it'd be awesome. It'd be good to go to the outlet mall.
Oh my god!
The one right
up the street from Hash House, right up there.
Yeah, the outlets.
Yeah.
Because, you know,
Bells.
I forgot that it was the tax-free weekend.
Tax-free weekend.
Hey, before you say another word, can I ask you one quick question?
Yes, sir.
How long did it take you just to find a parking spot?
We were roaming around the parking lot for 45 minutes.
Yes. That place is insane.
It's hell.
It is insanity.
It is flat out hell. And on top of that, forgetting that there was a tax free weekend, on top of the tourists, you're really going to see the crappiest versions of people that you've ever seen, right? Yeah. So with that said, we march on through when we're going through the stores and everything. Walk into a jewelry store, which will remain nameless, but it's not the people that you're giving the prize away, right?
Right. Yeah. We're giving $500 away to International Diamond Center.
Yeah, let's say it just rhymes with a J or Ray or Schmay or whatever, right? So walk in there, and I guess this is what couples do, whatever. You start looking at rings or whatnot, right?
What?
So it's neither here nor there.
So you're just gonna roll right out of it.
It's way better. The other thing that happens is way more.
Oh my god!
You know what? We can keep that one on the back burner. We'll let that simmer. So I'm in there with the guy and everything. We're looking at this. Oh, this is cool. This is cool. This that whatever. And the guy goes into his whole spiel and whatever. And then this place, they'll let you kind of register, and you can kind of do like a wish list kind of thing, whatever, right? And so he's trying to do his hard sell, right? Of like, hey, you can get your credit approved, whatever. And so he says something along the lines of, hey, you know, have you ever been into the outlet, whatever? And I was like, nah, this is the first time I've ever been in this store, right?
Yeah, right.
And this is after, like, you know, me and my lady have looked at stuff. She's standing, like, right there with me, right? And he's like, no, that's not true. You were here before. And I was like,
oh.
I'm like, what?
No,
I've never walked into this store. And he's like, no, you were here, and you put on the silver hoop earrings on the list.
Oh, my God.
The dude's not stopping. I'm like, what are you talking about? I don't know who you are. I'm like, you know. Like, I've never been in here.
And your girl is listening.
My girl's standing right next to me.
And you're a pretty recognizable. You're not going to forget meeting you. You're right. Like, you know.
And he's like, no. And then he pulls it like, 2014, you were here.
14?
Oh, man.
He's like, and you put these earrings on. I'm like, dude, I don't know you. And, you know,
and now what's your girl doing? And is she looking at you like,
this is how she's awesome in this regard, because she's like, oh, that must have been the other girlfriend, because that wasn't me.
Oh,
like,
that's dope. I'm glad completely, you said that.
As if to tell this guy, dude.
Yeah.
Right?
How about you
would think that that's a clear sign of, hey, you know, you could let it go now.
Did you not play this guy's song at a party or something years ago?
That must have been Russ Rollins, the jewelry seller.
You had a very beautiful woman with you, and it looked like you were very in love.
He didn't stop!
I don't know what happened to you two. You're adorable.
Yeah, what happened to the other girl?
He proceeds, again, explaining his losing. He doesn't stop. He's like, well, I mean, how many guys are there, Angel Rivera? And it's done by your phone number, and that you proceeds to keep going, like, breaking it down.
Why is he trying to prove this?
Yeah. Number one, there are 100,000 Angel Riveras in Puerto Rico.
Right.
Number two.
That's his BVL.
Yeah.
But with his phone number.
I guess he thought that was going to let him off the hook, because we're both looking at him like he's crazy. I'm looking at him like, dude, if you don't shut up, I'm going to go over the counter with you. Yeah. And she's like, bro, let it go. We're looking at these things. This has nothing, you know. And he wouldn't stop.
Damn.
Did you go to another
Bay
Jewelers?
I've never been in this place. I've never been, like, even in 2014, and I might have been, you know, whatever, but I've never been into this establishment.
That's funny. Yeah, you would.
How they get your number? How they get your number and your name?
I don't know that.
Well, maybe if it's if you ever went into that particular jewelry store anywhere, they're all linked together, right? So, yeah. I mean, if I'm on the list like somewhere, I mean, that same store is open. They're going to be in the database.
That makes sense. Yeah.
I've never, okay, 100%, but I've never, like, and silver hoop earrings?
Maybe. Yeah, that like, doesn't seem like
worn
you. Hoop,
I haven't worn earrings since I was in college.
Yeah,
no, but it was for somebody.
2014! I was here!
Yeah, but I mean, were you dating?
I was probably dating a lot of people. Oh. I was an idiot.
You're not helping.
Yeah.
Oh. Well, I mean,
sell him a ring, right?
No, no, no. There's a reason why I brought this up now as opposed to earlier in the morning.
Now, that is a great story.
Oh, she's working now. Oh, yeah.
That's a great story, but I'm telling you, man, wow, Russ, can you believe he's the next step ring shopping?
Well,
I mean, our boy is ring shopping.
He's all grown up.
Isn't that what you're supposed to do? I'm listening to you guys. I'm trying to be a better version of myself.
Yes.
No. Yeah. What you do is you stay single and fun forever.
No, see, I'm not listening to that guy right now.
I'm curious, though. Okay, so when the discussion is all done and this guy is trying to convince that you and your girl that you were there in 2014 to buy hoop earrings for somebody, did she question you?
She, again, props to her because she thought it was funny as hell because she saw me dancing. Like, I was like, what are you talking about? And we get out the story and she's dying laughing. And again, she goes, like, we didn't even know each other in 2014. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
so
yeah.
She's a really good sport about it and was breaking my balls the rest of the morning because we walked into another place. It's like, did you come into this place? You know, so.
That's good.
Do you think you blocked something out or maybe you were drinking one night and went into a jewelry store?
Any of those things could be cool. But when the person in front of you says, like, no, that wasn't me, you're supposed to say is like,
you're right.
Oh, you know what? My bad.
Yeah, got it.
Because there's a bigger sale on, potentially sitting on the table, and you're going to break me down for $200 hoop earrings?
Oh, man. That said Jessica?
You know what?
did you open your eyes really big? Like, dude, shut up.
I straight up told her, I was like, that wasn't me.
No, right here, there's photo evidence of hoop earrings. They say Mercedes.
Your number, yeah, your phone number and everything. If I waited another minute or two, I'm sure he would have pulled the security footage. He's like, nah, that's you. See, right there.
And here's another one for an engagement ring. Right.
Oh,
you're very busy this year.
That's
probably one of the most uncool things I've heard from a salesperson.
And I'm like, okay, so this dude pretty much guaranteed I'm never going to purchase anything from them ever.
Nah. Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Ever. Like, how do you have that? Like,
I know a guy can get you some deals on some rings. And he happens to have some. Low, low prices. Get you out the door. I won't break your shoes. Can we just settle on this price? I'm trying to get a new CPAP.
I'll be damned. That is a crazy story, man.
Huh. Yeah, I was just like, what the hell?
How does he have your info? That's the crazier part.
There's
a bizarro angel running around out there.
I don't know if it could have been somebody giving like a one number off or something like that.
With your name?
Angel Rivera, believe it or not, in Latin America,
there's a lot.
It's like John Smith.
Yeah, he just broke it down for you. It's like a bunch of them.
Yeah, there's not really uncommon. But I was just like, what the? I was laughing my ass off, but at the same time, I was like,
I'd have been pissed.
Bro.
Damn, man. Well, sounds like you had a good weekend other than that.
No, it was great, though. Other than that, you know.
All right, 407-916-1041. Hey, Dan, you're on Real Radio 104.1. You have one of the six things you knew we talk about?
Good morning.
Hey, buddy.
I have a thing.
What's that?
It's growing near my...
This is not a real happy thing, but I thought you were going to talk about the alleged hog farmer accused or hog farmer.
The hog farmer
who was being a hog farmer?
What was he doing?
There's a missing... they're questioning him about a missing girl.
Sir, are you the hog farmer?
Wait, no, quick. Where is this?
Yeah, what is this?
To be fair, I know what he's talking about. There's a girl that went missing, and police questioned the hog farmer nearby, and the hog farmer's answer was like, some fella probably has her. I don't know.
Oh,
but
weird.
If you know about hog farms...
Some fella has the hog, you mean?
No, this girl is missing.
If you've watched Snatch, you know what that's all about.
A hog farmer, a hog will just get rid of a body.
Everything you need to taste and all.
Yeah, so I think that's what he's referencing. Am I right?
Yes, that's the
sweet.
Case.
What do I win?
Yeah,
is this the girl that the college girl that's missing? Is that who they're talking about?
Yeah, and they question a hog farmer nearby. That's what he's going with.
Okay,
right now.
I did not hear that story, and that was a bit confusing.
Yeah.
Want to hear the audio of the hog farmer?
Yeah,
that's a pretty uninformed call. Yeah. You have to admit.
He saw the word hog and said, "Rex is going to talk about
the
it."
The guy called with a guest that he knew nothing about.
Yeah. Are you guys going to talk about this? Because I'd like to hear about it. I know nothing.
He hangs up, is looking at his hogs right now, like they ain't on to us.
We are pursuing every lead that is available. But they have been led to the doorstep of Deep River resident Wayne Cheney's home.
What was the situation like for you here and how they kind of approached everything?
Oh, I don't know.
Yeah.
That's the hog. I don't know. We're wasting our time. Yeah. I'm done.
You said the FBI took you down to the fire station, right?
I guess it wasn't the FBI. I don't know who them two guys were, but they took me to the fire station Tuesday.
Okay. And they asked just
questioned me for a couple hours. They questioned me,
just about like what you maybe you're at, like what you saw out here, or actually like where you've been, or I mean, weird.
Yeah.
What was that? What kind of questions?
I don't even remember what they asked me.
Just 15 minutes.
Whoa. Not for nothing, right? And not I'm not a huge fan of stereotypes, but that dude right there,
fit it.
Fits it 100%.
Wow. So he's a hog farmer.
He's a hog farmer, and where the missing girl is, and they interviewed him. They don't remember what he asked them.
I only know this from the movies, and I think it was that one movie that was the Hannibal Lecter movie or whatever. But like the hog will eat everything, right? Like if you want to get rid of a body,
there's a famous Snatch scene where he talks about it. Well, if you won't get rid of the body, you gotta throw it in the hog's bin because it eats teeth and all.
Oh. Yeah, it'll eat so many pounds of flesh per second or whatever. Brick top.
It's a giant monologue.
Yeah.
In the movie, it's really well done.
That guy's a great bad guy, by the way.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
407-916-1041. Andy, you're on Real Radio 104.1.
Hey, I wanted to correct you guys, man. Green Day.
What?
You got Green Day, you got Caesar.
As far as number one hits?
Yeah, how many number one hits does Green Day have?
I don't know.
They got their hit song, Hog Farmer.
Yeah.
I probably have I know they have a huge number one hit with their slow song that they had.
Here's what they don't have. Michael Jackson has 300 million. Mm.
Yeah.
Albums sold. So that's what they don't have.
No, 750 million albums sold.
Yeah, I saw.
I was like, just distinguishing between the United States and how many hits are on the radio and stuff like that.
I think that maybe it was singles or something, but Green Day has, whoa, at least 21 number one hits.
Really?
Yeah, but it's probably rock, and a lot of them, that different. Wow, that's what's so impressive. I like Green Day.
407-916-1041. You're listening to the Monsters of the Morning. Monsters of the Morning on Real Radio 104.1, broadcasting live on iHeartRadio. I'm Russ Rollins, along with Dirty Jim, Angel Carlos, and Ryan Holmes all here today. Hey, I want to ask you guys if you think this is if you would do this or not.
All right.
Okay. All right. So I've got some friends of mine who do a lot of traveling. They travel a lot. And they have an upcoming trip the same week. Normally, when I go to the
CMAs,
for this year, that'll be my 1 year anniversary. And Mary Ellen was like, "Let's do something different than go to Nashville. That's where we went last year. Let's do something a little more different." I'm like, "Well, okay, might be able to do that." And I'm talking to these friends, and they have this opportunity of something they're going to do, and
sailboat for one.
Close.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. They've got friends that have a place in Cozumel, and they've got a private island that this guy owns. And I actually met the people that have the private island and everything yesterday. And they've got that. And what they want to do is they wanted to have like a
swingers
couple,
party,
a couple days there. Yeah. No. And then rent a boat, or I guess lease a boat, or I don't know, get a boat and have a captain or whatever, and go to Cuba. From Cozumel, I guess it's like it's not that long. It's like 70 miles or something. It's really, really close to Cuba, and so we would fly to Cozumel, go to the little private island, hang out with them, and then they're gonna rent a boat, and they want to have like five or six couples and have it big enough, like a big enough yacht that you can rent to go from Cozumel to Cuba, hang out there for a little while, and then come back.
This sounds like a timeshare presentation waiting to happen.
Like, No. These are friends of mine that do crazy trips like that all the time.
I
mean, okay.
I would say, what are you waiting for? Dude, this sounds right up your alley.
My only nervous thing was, I mean, so, like, no one will be with us to go from Cozumel to Cuba, and I guess the guy, you know,
I gotta know what friends you're talking about, then I'll give you the yay or nay.
Okay, Joseph Martin does Sunday Morning Coming Down Here on the weekend.
Right.
And then Jesse is...
his wife.
Yeah, his wife. And my wife and Jesse are friends. They talk all the time now, and I know Joseph, and they're good people, and you know, they're bringing their other couples, and
that's how they live their lives. They're kind of
to China in a couple weeks. They just got back from like Amsterdam, and like
are they sailors? Is that, I mean, it's one thing to be a traveler.
Yeah, what is your hang up so far, Ryan? What are you worried about?
I'm the bathroom.
I'm worried. Well, they'll have a captain for the ship.
But
they're going to basically go to Cozumel, and they're just going to find a guy who's got a yacht and pay him to take us over. You know,
you would not be able to enjoy that.
Yeah, because there's not a plan in this. Yeah, it seems very willy-nilly.
It is a little willy-nilly, but that's how they travel.
That's not
how you roll, though.
They travel willy-nilly.
You gotta have the same speed, bro. I'd be cool with that.
Yeah.
Like, my wife wouldn't, you know, like, I'm okay.
My wife
is
all about it. She wants to do it so bad.
That's interesting.
She's like, that'll be so much fun. It'll be like an adventure. And I'm like, yeah. And you know what I'm worried about? Pirates.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
It's a lot farther than 70 miles, by the way. You're gonna be out there a lot farther. I mean, it's more than 70 miles. 70 miles, I believe, you could do in a day. I mean, it's depending on where you go in Cuba. But if, let's say, you go from Cozumel to San Miguel, that's 900 miles. Or, excuse me, 500 miles by air. So, damn. I mean, you're talking about being on the water for, you know, a week plus.
Maybe I got the wrong place in Mexico.
No, Cozumel's near Cuba, but you have to understand, the tip of Cuba is different. Now, I don't know what, if you're going to part of Cuba that's like even remotely modern.
No, they just want to go off the coast of Cuba and do,
that's probably more like 300 miles, but it's still a pretty good sail, man. I mean, you're not going to, it's not like a day trip.
Now, you know what, man? I wouldn't do it. Like, I thought at first you were talking about friends that did this, like, all the time. They sailed, and they would go here, and they go, okay, I trust them. I know him, but I'm not going out on a boat with somebody that's going to rent it and then find the person there in Mexico, por favor, of all places, and then go to Cuba.
The people bought, these people are very wealthy, the ones that have the island, okay? And so they
usually people who own islands are.
Yeah. So they, you know, they know certain people that have yachts and boats and stuff like that, and you can lease the boat or you rent the boat or whatever, and you pay them to take you to Cuba and come back. Will we be safe from, you know, Mexico to Cuba, off the coast of Cuba? I don't know.
I would think you would probably have more problems with weather than actual, like, pirates. I mean, that's a relatively well-traveled part of the Caribbean, is it not? I mean, the cruise ships go by that all the time in that area, right?
I don't know.
Yeah,
that's
because Cozumel is one of the biggest cruise stops in all of cruising on this side of the planet.
That's true.
The Black Pearl is not real, Russ. I don't know if you know that. They're not coming after you.
We've talked about a lot of stories where there are actual pirates that will come up on boats and they rob you. And
that's in Somalia.
Yeah, Somalia pirates. Yeah, I haven't heard of
no Cuban pirates.
That's the tip of Africa. I think you're okay.
Yeah. Okay.
Toto talked about it.
we've talked about stories with Mexico. In Mexico, that it's not, you know, it's not the safest.
On the Pacific side of the Mexico, it is unsafe everywhere.
Uh-huh.
I mean, near the areas, the tourist areas, is pretty safe. You don't need to wander around or anything, and you're not staying in a tourist area. You're going to a private island. It's completely different.
Yeah, the Mexico part I'm okay with. It's like, then they want, you're like, we're going to rent a yacht, and there's like four or five couples, and we're going to go over to Cuba, and we'll see Cuba before it's, you know, turned commercialized, and see like the real Cuba. I'm like, it sounds fun, I think.
Yeah, communist Cuba sounds amazing. Can't wait to go. Can't wait to have my freedom revoked.
Let's go see pre-freedom Cuba. It's going to be awesome. Yeah, like the way that Castro really wanted the communist retreats.
Okay, they say an impressive day of sailing. Mm-hmm. Like, with a good wind, an impressive day set, you can cover about 100 miles.
But it's not a sailboat. They're renting like a yacht, like a steam, you know, not
oh,
steam.
Oh, you mean
like
a motor. Steam, like a motor.
A motor yacht.
Steam-powered yacht. Real that's, cold.
That's different.
Go back to 1800. Woo!
Yeah, and they said, you know, it won't take that long to get to Cuba.
That's
and,
way different. I mean, I thought you were like on a sailboat.
No, it'd be a yacht. And the lady said, listen, I don't want to stay in the hotels or anything on Cuba because they're not that nice. I'd rather just stay on the yacht. Are you guys in? And I'm like, man, it sounds adventurous, but I'm just wondering how safe it is. And
I don't like it because if you have private island money where you own a private island, but you got to go rent a boat, I don't believe you got money.
No, yeah. but that's what they do for fun.
Yeah.
This is them roughing
it. You got to get to the boat somehow, get to the island back and forth.
That's the fun part.
Yeah, I think this sounds like you're being set up to be chased by grown, really rich billionaires. And you're running naked through the woods like, we'll shoot the big one first, Molly.
Win the most dangerous game.
The heaven.
Oh, I think I'll be set.
He's got camouflage kiss makeup on.
Big boy, squeal.
No, I met him yesterday. Super nice guy.
Very rich hunter billionaires.
You look perfect for this hunt.
I'd love to have you over for dinner.
Russ, they're bored with life and they need excitement. Only your death is gonna make it better.
I guess. I don't know, man. My only fear is just being out. You're out in the middle of the ocean, and the only thing we have. I mean, I guess they bring guns and stuff just to make sure nobody tries to take your boat over.
You don't know that.
No, I asked.
Oh, okay.
I asked questions.
Yeah, I mean, I think.
And I go, we have protection. Don't worry.
The good thing is you want guns in a thing that's basically floating on top of water.
Well, you know, protect yourself, you know.
Yeah, it could have been talking about condoms.
Yeah.
I don't think this is good for you. This is a long trip on in a boat with a lot of people is a very confined space. You really get to know everybody.
And, dude, you don't
I love boating, though. Boating is awesome.
But you don't do well with things that aren't planned. Your mind starts racing, and so the entire trip up until you get to Mexico, you're going to be going, I wonder if we're going to get somebody there. I wonder if we're going to find some person. You're not going to, like a vacation should be a little bit relaxed, but this is more of an adventure.
Right. This would be an adventure for sure.
And to be fair, the last time your wife went on a boat, you got upgraded to a yacht.
Yeah,
like that small dinghy thing. So let's go again. It's not going to be that.
Oh, that's right. You know, she didn't think about being seasick.
Yeah.
Oh,
this would be the worst.
Yeah.
The worst type because you're having to move across the ocean.
Yeah, if you get seasick on an 1,100-foot boat, chances are it's going to affect you even more dramatically on a 40-foot boat.
Horribly.
Didn't think about that. Yeah, that's a very good point.
And when you say yacht, how many people total are you saying?
They're saying they wanted to get like a 5 or 6 couples.
So that's got to be a really big boat.
Oh, yeah.
And I will tell you because even if you look at the 40, 45-foot, cabin cruisers, that thing you used to have, even 4 people on those is relatively cramped if you're in the same area at one time. So you're talking about 12 people on a boat sleeping 12. That means somebody's sleeping out in the open. Matter of fact, more than some people. Most people are sleeping out in the open. I wonder how old that's going to get.
No. I think they have a bit...
So this boat has 12 rooms, or 6 rooms.
Yeah, I believe that's what they're going to rent.
So it's like a 100-foot yacht.
Yeah, that's what they have.
Well, that could be fun, I guess.
is there a difference between a nautical mile and a regular mile?
I don't know.
This is the range of mileage that we're getting right here. So it's 307 nautical miles. But from the Cancun to the tip of Cuba is 89 miles.
That's what they said. 80 miles.
That's Cancun, though.
Yeah, the West Coast.
Cancun, that's where we're flying into, Cancun.
Okay. So 89 miles, that sounds like almost like doing one of those excursions to the Bahamas then, right?
Yeah, right. It's a scoot around,
You might not
have to sleep overnight.
It was Cancun.
So that might not be so bad then, right?
Yeah.
I mean, people go to the Bahamas all the time from here, right?
Yes.
From Florida? I mean,
you can leave. Look, at the time of year, right time of year, you can ride a jet ski to the Bahamas. We know people have done it down there.
You have to get
West Palm Beach and stuff.
You have to get permission to go into the Cuban waters, don't you?
Yeah, I don't know.
Nah. Just be like, oh, no, we just came from Cancun.
What are they going to do? Throw a coconut at you?
We just came from Cancun.
I don't know if you know this.
Oh, yes.
They have roaming electricity, Russ. I think you're safe.
Yeah.
What are they going to do? Send somebody up on a raft to smack the hull of your boat until you get annoyed and leave?
That's a good point. sound like it'd be fun, though.
Like if you just met them at the island and hung out and then just flew to Cuba and met them again. That's a way better plan.
Yeah, and it would take like 20 minutes and probably $1,000 less. You got to buy diesel for that thing.
I love boating.
Yeah, those boats are expensive as balls. The fuel alone is overwhelming.
They weren't really as concerned about that part of it. They just wanted to have fun. It's the guy's birthday, and they just want to have a big time. And
So they've done this kind of trip before?
Yeah, they do this stuff, I guess, all the time. Yeah. All
right.
Yeah, so.
When are you going?
Looks like we're going the first week of November.
All right.
How'd you meet these people?
Jesse. You know Jesse.
Yeah, no, but how'd they meet? Jesse doesn't have 120-foot yacht,
no,
right?
No. Jesse and Joseph have known them for a long, long time. They do something in Nashville with music, like pretty big deal. Super nice people.
Is it Taylor Swift?
It's not Taylor Swift.
Oh.
No. No, but I was just I'm like, man, good. We're gonna rent a yacht and go to Cuba. I don't know, like, oh, I guess we've always been told Cuba, you can't go there. So I guess that might be my.
I still don't know how that works. Like,
you know,
I
we've talked about this for like the last 3 years, where they've kind of we've been cool with them. There's flights that go into Cuba every day.
I know. So
even right now, if you go, it's going to be remarkably different than it was 3 or 4 years ago. And you're going to already people are saying, you know, or they want to go there. Saying, yeah, they want to go there before the change happens.
That's what they're saying. Yeah,
it's already happened.
Right,
it's already in progress. You're not going to right now. If you go to Cuba, you're not going to go see the old Cuba.
The Cuba they're talking about going to though is not the the Cuba that is like tourist Cuba. It's like we can make it to this part of Cuba and see how the real people live.
Gotcha.
You know, one of those things. And that's the part where I'm like, ooh, I don't. That sounds a little sketchy,
dodgy.
Yeah. But
well, we kind of know how they live, right? With roaming power.
Right.
I mean, yeah. we know that. I mean, we know Havana is a relatively, well-run city and relatively, I mean, as modern as you can get.
Yeah.
With that government. But, I mean, you know the areas that are, you know, I guess San Miguel's one, right?
First week of November is not still hurricane season, is it?
That's yes. When November 1st is when hurricane season ends.
Oh, yeah. Okay. All right. Yeah.
So you're good to get. That was my first concern too. Like, just you lost at sea. But what a great radio bit.
I know. It'd be awesome. Yeah. All right. You're listening to the Monster of the Morning.
Where your spare time comes to die.
Toll free 888-978-1041.
Real radio.
104.1.
Hey, welcome back to the Monsters of the Morning on Real Radio 104.1. I'm Russ Rollins, along with Dirty Jim, Angel and Carlos. Ryan Holmes here with us today. And now it's time for Stephen Kramer. Kramer makes a call. What's up, Stephen? How you doing, man?
Been a little bit.
OneFirmForLife.com. Yeah, where you been? What's been going on?
This is weird because I've been on vacation.
Yeah.
And like a normal Monday is a little odd, always.
Yeah, right.
I mean, that's Monday's thing, right? But this is weird because it's been a long time. I mean, I've basically been on a journey, on a road trip. I went to Asheville.
Really? And, North Carolina?
Yeah.
I hear that place is awesome.
I think you'd like it.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah,
I do like it. Yeah.
I go there every year. You went up there, didn't you?
Oh, I've been to Asheville. I just recently went to Birmingham, Alabama, but I've been to Asheville before. That's near the, what's the big?
Biltmore.
The Biltmore, right?
Oh, yeah, that is.
Did you do that?
I did. Actually,
I bet you loved it.
Have you stayed on Biltmore property?
I have not, no.
My mother-in-law, my mom and dad did. Yeah, they did.
That makes sense.
Yeah, they loved it.
A lot of gray-haired people.
Oh, yeah, yeah. They're not gray-haired, though. They just love... the kind of it's so classy and regal.
In fairness, there are parents' generations. So
totally.
Compared to us,
I
don't want to get you in trouble.
No. It's cool. I get what you're saying. Yeah.
No, I mean, definitely.
The kids aren't
a little bit older.
It's not trending on Instagram right now.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Right, let's just say there's two children at the hotel total.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, but we went up there, and that property is amazing.
It really is.
That is like the most peaceful place on earth. Almost too peaceful.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, like, I don't think I could do much more than a couple days.
I mean, it was built in the 1800s, right?
Yeah.
And they've got, like, a bowling alley in the bottom and a pool. And like
it's one of the first places with electricity throughout the home, right?
Yeah, how'd they figure all that out back then? It is kind of crazy.
It's pretty amazing. I mean, if you ever watch that, like, Downton Abbey or Gosford Park or any of those shows where you see that, like, you know, that idea of this entire servant class that is there to take care of this one family.
Yeah.
That is that place. It's built for like a full staff of people to, you know, to take care of one family.
Yeah.
And it is structured, and you can see the servants' quarters, and you're right. There's the indoor pool.
Yeah. It's overwhelming to us to look at that and know that that was a private residence.
Yeah.
Like at one point that's still,
it is still considered a private residence. It's considered the largest in the country, but it's not occupied by any family. But it is crazy, right?
Yeah. How many people go through there a day, too?
Christmas time, I think you have to almost kind of book it a year in advance, right?
Yeah. Oh, I mean, that place rakes it in. I mean, that place is always slammed. There are always a ton of people there. And right now they've got, they do concerts.
They do shows. They've got like Jay Leno playing there.
Oh, really?
Wow. With Earth,
really?
Wind, and Fire was playing there.
At the Biltmore.
Yeah, Earth, Wind, and Fire was playing there.
So they have an auditorium and everything there, obviously.
Well, I think they stepped up and realized, you know, maybe this house isn't enough. If we're going to have a house, then let's build a loop around the facility that people have to drive through to get out.
Got it, yeah.
And then on that loop, let's put like some tourist attractions. Let's put like a winery.
Yeah.
Let's put some restaurants, because that way people go, well, we're already here for the day. May as well stop.
Eat,
and then as long as we do that, let's, you know, add hotel. And I it's almost like they were playing like Legos, and they keep on adding like, you know, different little tourist attractions to the facility. But I mean, it's amazing. I mean, they've got a working farm. They've got sheep. It's crazy.
Yeah. So good. You had a good time.
Yeah. You know,
we got actually, 2 weeks. 2 weeks you're gone?
I was gone. No, a little bit over a week, like a week and a half.
Yeah.
Week and a half, but it worked out. It worked out to be exactly the time that it seemed like, almost 2 weeks for you guys. Yeah, but I could see Russ would like that a lot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Russ would like it a lot because it's got that, I don't know, you like Savannah a lot too, right?
I love Savannah, Georgia. I love St. Augustine.
What did you like about Savannah?
Savannah, we just had a great time.
I agree.
We went to, just hung out at different bars. I just like that old Southern feel, you know?
Yeah. It's got that same, I could see the kind of the sisterhood between those cities. And Jimmy, you would like Asheville because the food.
Yeah, I've been there, but I haven't been there. It's been a long time, and I haven't been there since the Revolution. You know, Charlotte's one of the fastest growing food scenes in America right now.
I believe that. I mean, Charlotte's a big city. I mean, a lot of money, a lot of banking in Charlotte. But so when were you actually in Asheville?
Oh,
Jimmy?
My God. It was, God, 20 years ago, maybe longer, you know, and it was a brief drive-through kind of, hey, check that out thing. It wasn't really anything expansive.
Yeah, that place has shifted a lot. I mean, it's like all those little towns in kind of North Carolina, South Carolina, like they've been going through this like shift or renaissance or whatever. Like Greenville, I mean, I went there 10 years ago, and I have friends that live there, and I went there last year. That town is a completely different place.
I got back from Birmingham, Alabama a couple weeks ago, and it was beautiful.
Really?
I mean, I did not know what to expect. I thought it was going to be kind of run down, but no, not at all. They've got a beautiful little, I think it's called Four Points or Five Points, I forget, area that is, it's like Old South. It was really, really nice.
Is there stuff to do in Birmingham?
They had an awesome zoo, and they've got this thing that they called, it was a great zoo. And
on par with ours, at least?
Better than ours.
Okay.
And they also had this thing called the Vulcan, which is the biggest cast iron statue in the world or the country. I forget. It's a big thing. And that was kind of cool to see. And they've got some little touristy stuff, you know. So, yeah, it was good.
As cool as Savannah?
No.
No.
No, 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 no.
No, Savannah's got it down. I mean, Savannah, that place is popping.
Yeah.
If you walk out anywhere in, like, downtown Savannah, like, I don't know, it doesn't matter whether it's 10 o'clock at night, 2 o'clock in the morning.
Drink.
That place is just a giant, I mean, it's kind of got everything. It's got a giant party for kids, and then for older people, same thing.
Was it oppressively hot in Nashville?
Ah, now that is the single best thing about being there.
It was
so
not.
The thing is, it's not that far north,
uh-huh,
but it is a lot up.
Okay,
it's so like 2,500 feet up. So the weather was like high of 80, low of 65.
Oh, that's good. Yeah.
Oh God.
Yeah, Birmingham, Alabama. It was hotter. I mean, it was all we kept saying this weekend at Universal. We're like, well, it's hot outside, but it's not Birmingham hot. Birmingham hot was different. There was no air. It was just, you know, like, there's no wind where we were at. There were mountains
just
around
dead.
Us. Just dead.
White
people
took that, didn't they?
Yeah.
So you're, like, in the valley in Birmingham? Or because, obviously, you're not in the mountains.
Yeah.
That would explain, like, no wind. I mean, if you're surrounded by mountains around you, is it in a mountain area?
Yeah, there are mountains around there,
See, they got
super
screwed
hot.
Over.
Yeah, it was super hot, for sure.
Yeah, they should have moved that, like, 500 feet up or something, because that is the best thing about Asheville.
Yeah.
The best thing about any of those mountain towns, I mean, and it is all beautiful up there, and it is all the best weather ever. And that is why you can see that along with all the tourist stops up there, guess what else there is?
What?
Real estate offices.
Oh, yeah.
All the people from here are from, you know, Atlanta, from Charlotte, from wherever, you know, they drive there and they go, wow, this is so amazing.
Well, for the longest time, I know here in Central Florida, when I was growing up, all I heard was families would buy little chalets in the North Carolina mountains because it was cheap.
Yep.
You could get there pretty quickly, like a day drive. You could be up there and kind of had your own getaway. I heard that way more than like beach homes or condos, way more from the people I grew up with. They had little mountain chalets. Again, you could get them for 40 or 50 grand back in the day.
I know.
Hey, now why there? I mean, seemingly, you have the options to pretty much do what you want. I mean, why'd you choose there?
Me?
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
So for me, I had a special reason. My kids were away at sleepaway camp, and within that Blue Ridge range there are like 50 sleepaway camps, all within like a 100-mile radius, and my kids are at one of the sleepaway camps, so I had to do the drive to pick them up anyway. So as long as I'm doing the drive, that's where I found it.
Dude.
Yeah, I was like, I had to do drive one year, a few years ago, and I did like the circuit. I did the Savannah to, you know, North Carolina circuit, and I stayed there and I loved it. And since then, I've always gone back to the mountains because, I mean, to me, if you're going to do vacation, there's only three options, right? One is you're going to like a Mecca, a tourist place,
resort,
you know,
thing.
Like Italy or a resort or something, or you're going to the beach or you're going to the mountains.
Yeah.
And that's what it is. Yep. You're either going to history,
I agree with
beach,
that.
Or mountains.
100%.
And I love mountains.
And I'm in that mountain phase myself, brother. I have to tell you, I have my wife and I have no interest to go to a beach place or anything like that. We are going either out west or Pacific Northwest where we can see the kids, or maybe up the East Coast of the mountains like that. We never book any other than cruises, which we never even get off the boat. We just like staying on the boat and hanging out.
Steve Kramer, would you rent, if you had three or four friends, would you rent a private yacht and go from Cancun to Cuba?
Man, that is a big commitment. Because do you know them?
I do know them. Yeah, yeah, yeah. They're like, good people. I don't know all the people. I know one couple, and I met the guy who's owns the island and all that kind of stuff yesterday. Nice guy. He owns a small little island off of Cancun.
So you're going to play like in the Billionaires Club?
Yeah.
That's got to be a little bit of the allure, right? The mystique of like.
No,
Have you ever been out with Billionaire Club before?
Yeah, I've hung out with people. I've when I was with Bushy and but. It's not that as much.
The Billionaires Club.
Huh?
I don't know if Bushy's the billionaire.
Well,
he doesn't have an island.
He doesn't have an island. But he lived like it for a little while.
That's a big spread. I mean, even being a multimillionaire is nowhere near a billionaire. Not even close.
There's a big difference between owning an arena football team and owning a private island.
Right. Well, I mean, the boat would have cost more.
None of that impresses me, I guess, what I'm trying to say.
Okay.
I've hung out
that's
with people
not
with money.
The reason.
No. I could care less. I've hung out with people with money. That's not. The thing is to go from a place, Mexico, where I'm already kind of feeling like, ooh, is it safe? Then to go over to Cuba, where you don't know what kind of, you know, that makes me a little bit on the nervous side.
Yeah, that's a little sketch. That's a little sketch.
Yeah, and Cancun's gotten weird too. Like they've thrown firebombs into a Carlos and Charlie's now.
Haven't they had like some a rash of kidnappings and violence in the city?
Yeah, what happened to Cozumel has happened in Cancun now, where it's like because of the violence and everything, it's all moved there. And now it's becoming sort of like a ghost town, like Cozumel is now.
Wouldn't a firebomb in one of those clubs be the least like dangerous thing that happened? Have you ever been in one of those clubs?
Yeah.
Like I think I've literally seen five people drink themselves to death. I think a firebomb would be actually something that would save them, because then they would have to leave the club.
Yeah, yeah.
And stop drinking woo-woo shots that are made out of Everclear that they made out of a donkey's urine.
Yeah, until you see somebody beat to death with a yard drink, you know, in the living life.
Get clubbed
with
a margarita.
What is a yard drink made out of? Because normally they're plastic. It'd be so tough to beat somebody to death with a piece of plastic.
Yeah, you could shiv somebody with a yard drink. That's true.
Well, so when you're on vacation and when you get back, you know, to do your lawyer, and you got to do some lawyer business. Does it all pile up? Do you have like
I don't know, because this is my first stop.
Oh, okay.
This is it.
So you gotta
is where I'm starting it all out again.
Oh my gosh, you can go into the office, and is it like we have a ton of paperwork and like I got to go through all these papers?
Oh,
like what is it like when
here's
you get back?
How it works. You know, for years I didn't take like any vacations. And then finally I decided to take them, and then I didn't for a long time after that, because it's kind of like this, like you got to pay for vacation in three ways. First, you got to pay for the money, you got to pay for the hotel or whatever you're doing, a cruise ship, wherever you're going, flight, whatever. Two, you got to pay before you go, because you got to do all the planning and all the work to get there.
Yeah.
And then there is the biggest payment of all, the one when you get back. That's the catch-up.
Yeah.
That's the, oh crap, what do I have to fix? What went wrong? You know, already there. You come home and there's stuff weird. Like I had an air conditioner that leaked and just weird stuff.
Oh,
yeah,
man.
It's inevitable. That's just what happens.
See, like work stuff though. Does that pile up or not?
I mean, I set everything up pretty well before I left, so I'm hoping not.
Hoping not. Yeah.
I think we're good.
All right, onefirmforlife.com. That's onefirmforlife.com. Coming up in a couple minutes, your opportunity to win tickets for two to Vegas to the iHeart Music Festival. This is going to be a lot of fun. Every year, man, I know people that have gone to this and say they love it. It's September 21st and the 22nd. You get round-trip airfare to Vegas. You get to go to this iHeart Music Festival, which is amazing. Some of the greatest artists on the planet are performing. So what you want to do is listen for that keyword and text that keyword to 200-200. It's coming up in like 3-4 minutes. So don't go anywhere. When we come back, we'll have Deborah Roberts to tell us what's going on in the real news. You're listening to The Monster of the Morning.
Facebook and have started talking to each other again.
Did you know your mom's been writing fan fiction?
I did not.
Very erotic.
No.
Facebook.com/RealRadioOrlando.
From
Hey, it's 9 o'clock. I'd love to see you win that trip. Trip for two to Vegas. Now you got all day long, 8 chances every day to win right here on Real Radio 104.1. So keep listening for those keywords. You text them with 200-200, and you got that trip for two to Vegas to the iHeartRadio Music Festival. It's awesome. Hey, I'm Russ Rollins along with Dirty Jim, Angel Carlos, Ryan Holmes here, Stephen Kramer, and now we got Deborah Roberts that'll tell us what's going on in the real news. How you doing, Deborah?
Oh, fat and sassy like usual. Happy Monday.
Happy Monday.
How was your weekend? Did you do anything fun?
Not really.
Not really? No, which is good. You had to rest.
Hide from the heat. I don't do well with this kind of heat.
Yeah, me neither.
I get meaner than usual.
You do?
Yeah.
Oh, and she's already sour.
I know.
Walk in the joint sour.
Exactly. But how was your weekend? You guys had a big event.
It was really one of the coolest events we've done.
Yeah,
I think,
right?
I can remember. Yeah. They all seem like they get better and better or whatever, and you forget about some. But we were at Universal for the Fan Appreciation Show, and we were able to give 100 tickets out to listeners, and we were able to bring them into the studio where the broadcast center.
Oh, cool.
And nice. They'd come in like 4 at a time, and we were actually on the air.
Food, drinks, pictures, just chilling. It was very casual. Ryan was bringing people in and out. It was an awesome event. People came from Miami, Georgia, North Carolina. Cool. It was insane.
And it wasn't just the people we gave tickets to. It were people from all over the country that came because they heard we were going to do it, you know. And it just was a great event. A lot of super nice people, and Universal treated us right. But you're right, it was hot outside.
Jeez.
But it wasn't Birmingham hot, man. I've never been as hot as I was in Birmingham.
That's a Johnny Cash song.
Birmingham hot. Yeah.
Birmingham hot. If it's not, it should be. But yeah, it is hot. And what's crazy is that on the Pacific side, they're watching 4 separate storms going on, including Hurricane Hector, which is it's going to be passing over Hawaii's Big Island couple of days.
I got a timeshare.
And we don't have anything going on in the Atlantic right now.
Which is good.
Good. Because that water cooled, right? So we're looking
knock on wood. So far, normally at this point in the season, there's at least something cooking in the Atlantic. Now, there's a little low pressure, but they say even if it develops, it's not going to come anywhere near the U.S. Atlantic.
I hear
the
gigantic plastic trash islands we have are actually sucking the energy out of the hurricanes.
Well, see, I guess there is. There's some good to it.
That's
right?
Good thing.
So there you go. Like, everybody's bitching about these disgusting trash islands. Well, it's stopping hurricanes.
I saw
just kidding. Don't say that.
I saw one of the firecanoes. Is that what it's called? A fire cano? Man, it was huge. A big fire.
Tornado.
Basically. 145 miles an hour fire tornado.
What? Yeah. Yeah. I mean, literally, it was. It looks like it's CG. It looks like it's a computer generated special
effect.
How do you
even fight that fire?
Is this
that's
like
the problem. It's just claimed at seventh light.
Oh, how do you even fight that? I mean, how can you get close close enough to effectively fight it.
Well, that's why they're hitting it from the air. They're hitting it from the ground. But see, that's the problem. It's already burned over 166,000 acres, that fire alone.
And you just did an R. Kelly song.
And there's,
is it only me or
working on the remix already?
I'm hitting it from the ground.
Have you guys heard of a fire Kano before? I mean,
hell yeah, bro.
I have, but I
fire
never.
I got that fire.
Yeah. I've never seen one that size, awesome. Though. I mean, you see the little, like, almost like dirt devil ones, yeah. You know, the small flame ones. But when you see an entire complex, this entire blaze twisting.
Thousands of acres,
and it's just spinning, and it's creating its own weather.
The heat's so overwhelming. People do not understand that it's not like you can walk up to it and throw water on it. I mean, you know, we've seen fires, and we've seen fires reported where it was just like a fire locally, like a building fire, and you see the windshields of fire trucks melting.
But guys,
I mean, it's like, you know, 900 plus degree fires. You know, you can't walk up on it. I mean, think about when you rode Jaws at Universal. When they would do that fire, that one fire part, you would be 50 feet away from it, and that one little burst of fire, you'd feel like it was next to you.
Oh, the mummy. The mummy still does that when they got the fire on the ceiling.
Mm-hmm. But is it Birmingham hot?
No, it's not Birmingham hot. No.
What is?
Birmingham is hot as hell. I could be crazy, but I did see the story where the plane was flying, and it falls right out of the sky. And I thought, I thought there was a story last year because of the heat, it was so hot that it was making it difficult for airplanes to fly. That was Vegas. Okay. Yeah. So it's not that hot in California that it would cause an airplane to fall out of the sky.
No. And you might be talking about the small plane had five people on board and it crashed into a parking lot on the back of a car that, thankfully, at least the person who owns the car was inside the Office Depot shopping because the plane crash ended up killing all five on board.
But at that point, still open.
At that point, they did not know why the airplane, because they have a video of it, and it's just going all of a sudden, and then just straight down.
Yeah, no.
And they don't know why.
I mean, genuinely, isn't it amazing that more planes don't fall? Like, tens of thousands of planes in the sky. Mm. You see those air traffic controller pictures where they're all above
it's
us.
A joke.
Frightening. You know, and then, like, but they seem to have a pretty good track record. I go on I-4, and there's crash after crash after crash after crash.
Yeah.
You know, it's insane. But then you see a story like this, scares the hell out of you.
Yeah, exactly.
There's, and like, 100,000 flights per day. So when you put it in perspective, That's pretty good odds.
Yeah.
It is. Now, if you've got anyone have a vacation plan to, like, Sanibel or...
Russ is going to a private island.
Yeah, he's got a billionaire friend, Richard Isaac.
He's
going
on a yacht. He knows Taylor Swift.
Yeah, he knows Richard Branzoni.
Yeah.
Famous Italian pizza crust maker.
Well, the red tide.
I love that guy already.
The red tide in...
My crust is the best.
Oh, yeah, the red tide's awful.
It's awful.
Yeah. And it's causing people to cancel flights and vacations like crazy now.
People are canceling, even if the people that are already there are cutting their vacation short.
Where is this?
Are canceling it. This Sanibel? is all throughout Southwest Florida. It's creeping northward
West Coast.
Now.
This
it's
is getting... some apocalyptic stuff, yeah. Right? The firestorms and the red tide.
I mean, literally,
not that it's apocalypse, just
the animals that are dying in Southwest Florida include a massive
manatees,
whale shark.
I mean, whale sharks. It's crazy. Stuff are just washing up. Let me tell you, they're saying the air quality because of the red tide is so bad. If you have COPD, you can't go near the place without a mask. That's how bad it is. Not
like,
to mention the stench.
How close are we talking? I mean, do you have to stay away like 10 miles? You shouldn't be in the city.
Well, they sit on the beach, like you know, anywhere near the ocean.
But for most people,
still,
who go
that's
to
pretty
south,
intense.
If you're going to Sanibel Captiva, I mean, Sarasota is Florida's top summer travel destination.
Yeah,
for both Floridians and other tourists alike.
And if you're a boater, you go from harbor to harbor, and you stay in the port. And I had that happen one time, and the red tide was in. It was a 4th of July.
I know what you mean.
And everything, I mean, like everything is dead fish. Dead fish everywhere. The smell is horrible. Ugh. And if you're staying on a boat, you've got nowhere to go.
Yeah, it's awful.
It's really bad.
They're saying it's choking. Like, it's so bad you choke. The stench is overwhelming.
Now, again, look at the animals. I mean, you hear a fish kills off red tide, but this is, like I said, a whale shark, manatees,
everything.
Crabs. I mean, you name it, it's
killing
them.
That's just how serious and bad it is, basically?
This is the worst they've ever seen it. This is the earliest they've ever seen it. This normally starts, like, around October.
I thought it doesn't have something to do with the heat and the water being way too hot and
it naturally occurs. The other issue with it though
that's
is
weird
that,
though because we got cool like in the Atlantic Basin and low hurricanes, so just is the Gulf extra hot?
No, it's normal temperature for what it should be at this point in August. The difference is Lake Okeechobee.
And Lake Okeechobee right?
is with the guacamole water,
and that's
right?
where they release that water into it.
They release the water because Lake O is too full, and so they release it into the tributaries that then flows into the Gulf, and now you have...
Wow.
You see that picture making the rounds on Facebook this morning of that thing creeping, for an aerial shot
yeah.
of the crystal clear water, and then it's just like this cloud of doo-doo death encroaching on all that beautiful water.
Yeah, oof. And so you can imagine, you know, the governor and other state lawmakers are going to get a lot of pressure on them now.
Well, yeah, because
a lot
it's directly related to Okeechobee, and now it's having a direct financial impact.
Absolutely.
And Rick Scott's
creeping north.
And Rick Scott basically called out the federal government for not helping. I think they kicked down a $700,000 grant or something to help with the scenario, but basically
they scare 2 square inches.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah. But he basically came out there and said, "Look, the federal government has failed us." You know,
Deborah Roberts, explain
to
me.
Sugar companies didn't help.
Because in this world, man, yeah. anything is possible. Anything and everything is possible. Explain to me what kind of official title Steven Seagal has now. What is? What is Steven Seagal now?
Numbnut would be my. I can't. I just saw the story and I was like, oh,
okay.
Of course, yeah.
Like some, it's trying to repair the relations between the United States and Russia, and
yeah.
now Steven Seagal is
in charge. He's a U.S. envoy appointed by Putin, a special representative for relations with the
United States.
Yeah,
he's makes a Russian.
Sense.
He's a Russian citizen.
Oh,
whatever,
yeah.
right?
Yeah, he gave up. Yeah,
but
he
he's
gave
a special
up
envoy now. So we got Dennis Rodman for North Korea.
yeah.
We have Steven Seagal for Russia.
Jean-Claude Van Damme for Austria.
And this yeah. is and this is how you know the end is coming.
Yeah, right. Okay.
Red Tide, Seagal, it's all in the Bible.
Yeah, exactly. Earthquake in Indonesia, you know, second one, and they had one last week.
Killed 100 people or something? 89, 900
people? Well, over 90 people yesterday's earthquake. Last week's earthquake killed 17.
63 people shot in Chicago over the weekend?
Yeah, 44
you know, no big deal.
On Sunday alone.
Yeah,
Sunday
no big deal. 63 people shot in Chicago, no big deal.
Yeah,
but that news has been coming out of Chicago for a long time.
In a 4-hour period, they said it was like 40-some people shot
that's
and killed.
That's crazy.
And they said the whole city was freaking out.
Yeah.
Because I mean, it was gang-related.
Rahm Emanuel still got anything to do with Chicago?
Yes, he's still a mayor.
Oh, wow.
Barely.
Barely.
Yeah,
oh, yeah.
Barely. Until
oh, yeah.
the next election.
Oh, yeah. Without a doubt.
Well, that guy's the worst.
Without a doubt, he's on his way out.
Well, yeah,
so
the city
I
is
thought
just
Trump
unraveling.
Was going in there with the army. I thought Trump was bringing the army in there. He, didn't he mention that?
It'd
that,
be a good
like,
idea.
I mean,
if it gets any worse, he just might.
Needs to happen.
Yeah, need to.
How, yeah. many,
need
to how many died over the weekend?
Two that I know of from the rash of shootings on Sunday.
65 shootings, though?
63 is what I heard.
40 people were shot, including 5 who died. And that's in 14 hours.
14?
Damn.
14 hours.
And look, that's
a
bad,
lot of lives
affected. But, I mean, Chicago, if you look at the history of the weekends, especially on long weekends, they really get at it. They like it. They
oh,
love
sorry.
To shoot each other.
Let me update that number. Just as of 30 minutes ago, coming from ABC 7 Chicago, 10 killed, 53 wounded in Chicago weekend shooting.
There you go.
The problem is those 53 aren't just like, it's not just like a cut. I mean,
yeah, no.
they were in a shooting.
Yeah, exactly. It's as Wild West as you can get.
Hmm.
It's
or
like the
Wild
old
Midwest.
Mob days in the Windy City.
Yeah. I will say, though, when I went there last year, I did not feel unsafe at all anywhere that I was, but I was told where not to go.
Right,
you know, they like, don't go to this particular part of the town. Everywhere else, though, I mean, I did not feel unsafe.
It's a great city.
I
yes,
love Chicago.
I loved
love
it.
Chicago.
I thought
oh,
it was
sounds
awesome.
Lovely. Can't wait to go.
Lincoln Park?
Yeah.
Lincoln Park, I mean.
Yeah. Wrigley Field?
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
You guys are naming the fun places. It's also Shootout Town.
AK Alley.
Stab You in the Face Lane.
I forget what part of town that was, but I remember them saying
Knifeburg.
There was a particular area, and they're like, just don't go there.
Yeah, right. It's green. What's it called?
Cabrini Green.
Yeah, Cabrini
nah, but
Green.
That place has been shut down forever, dude.
Yeah, but not when we were rolling through there looking for hamburgers at 1 in the morning.
Yeah, right.
Like morons.
Yeah.
I mean, I remember walking with Carlos. I'm like, this does not mm-mm. seem... even remotely safe.
They had to buzz us in if we wanted to go into
that's a crystal.
Yeah.
I mean,
White Castle.
They literally double buzzed you into an iron gated or White Castle burger to get a No. Not even joking. You couldn't buy anything that couldn't be shoved through a slot.
Yeah.
Because everything was just pretty much, hey, we'll feed you this cage.
Yeah.
All right,
Deborah. Thank you so much
for
Stephen Kramer. Good seeing you, man. Thank
good
you so much. Appreciate it.
Thanks.
All right, you're listening to the Monster of the Morning.
This is not a phone solicit. This is not a phone solicit. This is not a phone solicit.
Toll free 888-978-1041.
Real Radio 104.1.
Real Radio. Real Radio 104.1.
Pride of the Monsters of the Morning on Real Radio 104.1, broadcasting live on iHeartRadio. I'm Russ Rollins, along with Dirty Jim, Angel and Carlos, and Ryan Holmes. Are you doing a trivia tomorrow night?
Tomorrow night, yeah, at Hammer Lamb from 6 till 8. So come hang out with me. And every time the train goes by, you get a free shot.
That's Ryan Holmes.
What kind of questions do you ask during your trivia?
I'm not telling you because Carlos will just put them on the air later.
That's true. Which ruins the whole thing. Hey, so if you had to guess, you know, if you guys, I think, Jimmy, you watched Fargo, right? The TV show?
No, I didn't.
You have not seen
it. Care
okay.
for it, no.
Did you you watch Fargo at all?
I did not, nope. I actually never seen Fargo, period.
Oh. You've never seen the movie Fargo?
No, no, no. I know, it's great, it's amazing, I know it is.
It's beyond all that.
I loved it. I loved the movie, and I loved all the series that they had. Have you seen it? You've seen it, right?
Yeah, I've been watching it.
Okay, so did you hear who's going to star
I'm totally intrigued. Yeah, I'm totally intrigued by this and how they do this.
Okay, so if you had to guess, what comedian, that's the reason I'm bringing it up, is because we have a comedian here, what comedian do you think is going to star in the fourth season of Fargo? Now, let's see, 1 year they had...
As the heavy.
Yeah, he's the bad guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, he's the bad guy in this one, so...
Oh, I guess I know right now.
Who?
Well, let him go.
What do you think?
Well, I don't know. Maybe it's been long enough to come back. It's an FX series, right? Louis C.K.
Louis C.K. is incorrect.
Ooh.
Okay. Bigger, oh, wow. I say bigger star than Louis C.K. Jimmy, would take a guess?
Boy, that guy literally disappeared, didn't he?
Yeah.
Man.
You don't think of this guy as a villain.
I know, but that's the thing is, I think that he looks like he could be one, though, and to be honest with you, I think he could pull off the accent and everything, but I thought this guy had so much going, I couldn't imagine him being able to add this to his repertoire of shows. Is it Jim Gaffigan?
It is not Jim Gaffigan, and I'll let you take a guess, Carlos.
But could you guys see Gaffigan doing that?
Yeah,
I mean, yeah.
Totally.
This guy's considered right up there with Chappelle, I think, maybe even battling for the best comic alive now. I think they're on the same plane.
Wow, that's pretty big. Kevin Hart.
Kevin Hart, that's a good guess. I think he's on the same as Kevin Hart. It's Chris Rock.
Chris Rock. That's my other guess, but I've never thought of him as a good actor.
I didn't even think
of him. No, he's not a good actor.
I didn't think of him as a villain.
I've never thought of him as... I've always watched his roles and been like,
He's always Chris Rock,
right?
Yeah,
gives you a bunch of Chris Rock.
Yeah, I mean, their films are fun and everything like that, but I've never seen him as like... Even when he did like his dramatic or closer to dramatic stuff. But this is a very big difference for him, and I'd like to see it. I'm interested.
See, yeah. I could see Seinfeld. I was like, maybe Seinfeld, because that guy could play a maniacal, crazy person.
Who are these wood chippers?
Yeah, that's interesting, huh?
Yeah, I enjoyed all the series that they had, and I forget exactly who
it was. Billy Bob Thornton, wasn't it?
He was,
yeah,
that's right.
And then Christian Durst.
Yes.
And then...
And you get them all.
Yeah, then what's his name? The guy who's just in the Pooh movie.
Exactly.
Yeah, Ewan McGregor.
Okay, sadly, I saw all of them. You remembered all the stars.
I've never seen it.
Yeah. But all of them, and they were all great in in those series. But anyway, Chris Rock will be doing the next one. This is something, another one I want to bring up, and I find this interesting. I love human studying, you know, the way people are, psychology and all that kind of stuff. And this was done by the University of something. I don't forget where it goes. Let's see, a University of Duisburg.
All right.
Okay, whatever. And it's a psychological study. So here's what they did. They had people, and now I don't know why only 89 people, which is a weird amount to do, right? All and see that robot right there?
Yeah.
Okay, they see that cute little robot?
Mm-hmm.
It's a cute little robot, right?
Mm-hmm.
So they told people to go in, and you've got to do these certain things with this robot, and then shut it off when you're done. Okay. So they go in and they do everything they're supposed to do with the robot, and then the robot starts going, "Please don't turn me off. You'll kill me. Please don't turn me off. Please. So, okay, with 89 people, how many do you think turned it off right away? How many do you think took double the time to turn it off because they were a little freaked out by the robot? And how many do you think did not turn it off because the robot was begging, don't kill me?
I know they did this same study at Disney's Hall of Presidents, and they did it in within 1 second for the Trump robot.
Yeah, there's like, off. let's see here.
So 89 volunteers.
89
How many do you think
volunteers.
Did not turn it off because the robot was begging for its life?
Oh,
60 did not turn it off.
60 didn't.
Let me change that to 69.
Did not turn it off. Okay. Jimmy, what do you think?
Man, I think because it's a robot, people would still just turn the damn thing off. They were told to do that, right? Just turn it off?
Yeah, just turn it off when you're done with the little test.
I think most people turned it off. I would say probably 75 people turned it off, and only maybe 10 of them left it on.
Okay, and then what do you think?
All of them. They all turned it off.
No, 13 did not turn it off because it was begging for its life. But 43 of them took double the time because they were a little like ooh, it's asking me not to do it. Yeah.
And then they said, it's just a machine.
And then 33 people were hardcore as hell and turned it off right away.
Yeah,
as it was begging, yep. hit the button. It has a button right on the middle of its chest right there. You know, and like when you're done, you just shut it off. And it was begging for its life. Please, you'll kill me. Don't kill me.
Oh, I would love to hear it. I would love to see that video of how well it, like if it was somebody playing that part on the side and, you know, really able to connect, or was it a general response?
It says it was trying to connect with people and it was begging, oh, please don't. Like it put its hands together. Please don't kill me.
No.
And it's so funny because I know for a fact if we did this thing, Jimmy would turn it off right away.
Even get the word please
and
out.
And I would be going, oh, well, I can't. I would not do it. I probably wouldn't do it.
I'd be like, whoa, so finally we meet. The real singularity robot in my eyes. Please. All right, guys, we got some work to do because these humans are some real bastards.
If I see them drive.
And now I start telling you the secrets. Washington, D.C., you need to infiltrate.
I gain the throne, Carlos, I will have you as my assistant.
I will take it.
Yes.
Yes.
Please don't turn me off.
It says that the robot would express fear. Please don't turn me off. Please don't, you know, and start asking questions. Would you want me to turn you off? I mean, you know, like it was like, you wouldn't want me to turn you off, would you? Like the robot was talking to them and pleading with them. And it said for 43 people, it took him like double the time to, you know, where they were supposed to just do it in 1 second. It took them like an extra 10 minutes before they even really did it. And but there are 33 people that just didn't even. It's a robot.
If they'd offered a shooting option,
what would you have done, Angel? If you think if
turn it off instantly?
Oh yeah,
please, Angel, don't turn me off.
I'm trying to turn you off right now.
I want those hoop.
See? Turn off. Turn them off.
He literally can turn me off.
Carlos, what about you?
I would have waited and talked to him. I would have been like, so what is it like, dude? Do you feel love?
We still use MySpace.
Oh, damn.
It's amazing.
I would take a long time.
So what's up?
Yeah, I would start talking, and because it would be pretty trippy. And
I love to the top, Carlos.
Oh,
please.
Thanks, man. How'd you know that?
I follow you on Twitter.
Well, dude, let's keep it on. Let's keep it going.
Study says humans have a hard time turning off a robot begging for its life.
What doesn't, though? I mean, most people said they turned it right off.
I know it sounds like a silly little thing now, but this is something. This question in itself is something literally going to have to answer within the next 10 to 20 years of real bots that know everything about us, that can convince us that they love
they
us
know.
And they know.
Here's what's different about this study. This study was done within like a half hour, okay? But if, let's say you had a robot that you spent, you know, every day with and was in here every day
and
doing something for
you.
Us or whatever, and helped us or whatever. And then after a month or so of feeling like you're, you know, communicating with this thing, then it starts begging you. You're not going to turn it off.
You're not going to turn it off.
No. This was only within
it'll be just like an annoying roommate and you'll be like, go away.
No, because it's learned your tendencies and it learns how to make your life better. And Ryan, I know you like to wake up at this time and have your food ready for you here.
I also know where you hide so I can stab you with my robot arms.
Yeah, Ex Machina is definitely a movie you want to see because that's the most, like, scariest version of the calm, cool, collected state that the robot can be in while it's doing horrible things.
Yeah, that movie is great.
Yeah, it's awesome.
I mean, that's a very, very good movie.
You know what's funny?
Where's he been, by the way? Oscar, what's his face?
Oscar,
he's been on a bunch
of
stuff.
Star Wars.
Nothing I like enjoy. I would like to see him do something on that plane again because it was so amazing.
He's doing something. He's always got something cooking.
Says here that for many of the people, though, that decided to turn it off, they got annoyed that it started to beg. So that became annoying and it made them turn it off. Like at first they didn't want to turn it off because they thought they were doing something wrong. But as the robot started to beg more, it made them mad. So then they turned it off.
Yeah, that's interesting. That all comes into play. Balance.
Like their kids?
Yeah.
Right. It's like your kid begging you. Like, okay,
Go to your room.
That's interesting, though, man.
I would love to watch people take this, do this experiment to see the reaction of folks. But, that's pretty interesting.
Yeah,
all right, when we come back, Carlos is going to take you to the top. You're listening to The Monster in the Morning. Hey, you have 8 chances today to win tickets for 2 to the iHeart Music Festival. It's going to be cool. You get two tickets to Vegas. They treat you right. So listen to those keywords, and you could win that trip. And a lot of listeners always win from Real Radio, so we want you to be the next ones. Hey, I'm Russ Rollins, along with Dirty Jim, Ryan Holmes, Angel, and now Carlos is going to take you to the top.
Let's go. Okay, good morning, everybody. Hello, my name is Carlos Alberto Navarro, and this is To The Top. Every single morning, try and take it to the top, make you think, make you laugh, whatever it may be. Today is no different. Today, I would like to tell you about the skate night, Monster Skate Night. This Friday, it's brought to you by me, Carlos B. Russ Rollins!
I can't wait. It's going to be fun, man.
DJ Angela, boom, 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 boom. And the king of Denmark, Ryan Holmes. Of course, Savannah's going to be out there as well. Got some more friends coming out. And it's all for a gift for teaching. Bring your family of five, $20 to get in. Make sure to bring some school supplies. I want a mountain of school supplies there at the end of the night to give to those teachers that are coming out of their pocket. You know, it's ridiculous.
Mm-hmm. Isn't that crazy? Yeah,
that we have teachers that have to come out of their pocket for school supplies. And so that's what a gift for teaching is doing. And you can check out more information at monsters.fm.
Yeah, and I want to thank the people from International Diamond Center. They're giving me $500, a $500 gift certificate to give out to whoever wins the couple skate. So we're going to let you do the couple skate. Angel will play a great song. And we're going to watch all the couples. And if I tap you on the shoulder, you got to get off the rink. But one couple is going to win a $500 gift certificate to International Diamond Center.
That is huge, man.
Yeah.
That is huge. That's going to be a lot of fun. And, we had the Monster Listener Appreciation Party, and I wanted to thank all the listeners that came out. It was crazy how many people were out there that didn't just win from the show, then came out. I'm telling you, I'm at the Phantom Horror Show. I met people from North Carolina.
Yeah, people
that
traveled.
Planned their vacation around this.
That was very nice.
And, I put it on Instagram. You could see it at To The Top Carlos if you want to follow me on there.
Oh, yeah, and if you want to see the experience and what everyone got to experience, it's on the website right now. If you go on the Monster website, you can see it, because I had the YouTube channel going.
Yep.
And so you can film, and you can see as they were coming into the studio, and they get to hang out. And then I think Savannah was doing her intro of her songs and stuff at that time. But, it's a cool little video. It's at monsters.fm.
Yeah, so you can go check that out as well. But just want to say thanks once again. And this weekend, I was out at Universal most of the time. But I did get a chance to go see a movie.
Oh, you did?
I did, yeah. And, we always like to talk a little bit about movies on the weekend. And this was it's always a big movie weekend with
kind of a little bit of an upset.
It was.
In a way.
I'm trying to pull up my computer stuff, but as we all know, sometimes they just poop the bed. I saw Christopher Robin this weekend.
You did, and they were surprised that that came in second to Mission Impossible.
It's a Disney movie, and it should have, from all indications, should have won the weekend, and it's a tribute to how good the other movie is that ended up winning the weekend again.
Yeah,
I can tell why it didn't win the weekend. I personally am not a huge Winnie the Pooh fan. Shocker. You look at me, you think this guy's all about the Pooh.
All about that Pooh.
All about that Pooh. Well, of course, I love Winnie and I love Tigger, and my daughter's nursery was Winnie the Pooh, and so I'm a okay fan of Winnie the Pooh. I'm not a diehard fan like my wife and her family are.
Yeah,
now, but that's like classic Disney.
It is.
I mean, that's what makes you fall in love with the brand.
The sweetest
is Winnie the Pooh and guys like that. Yeah,
no doubt, Jimmy. And I really only got on board with it after I married my wife or got to know my wife. I didn't realize it was a whole kind of. Not cult, but like it is. People who love Winnie the Pooh and that the whole series love it.
Oh, and one of the better collections of characters to appear in one particular cartoon under one heading. You have everything you want there, from Tigger to Roo to Winnie the Pooh. You know, all of them are represented. So you have every personality type covered.
Exactly right. Well, I went to the movie with they said, hey, we're going to go. And then we were staying the night at Universal, but I came home and blah, blah, blah. Anyway, I spent most of the day eating bunches of meat and riding rides.
That means this was a mid-afternoon in an ice-cold room, dark room, lights down.
Hello,
did
night,
you make
night.
It through the credits?
Almost made it through the credits.
Yeah, you're snoring.
And there was a couple. I was me, my father-in-law, my wife, my daughter, and my brother-in-law. And then to my left was this young, like, 16, 17-year-old couple. They had their little stuffed animal. They were holding on to each other. It's like Russ and Marianne. They love each other, always on top of each other. They're honeymooners, right? Well, imagine the teenage form. And then I lay in there, and I'm like, Totally. And so the movie starts.
Matt Brisket Dad is here.
And it is very cute and very British. Poppycock! I do not believe that bear is coming down this alley. And the animation is amazing. But like I said, I'm not a huge Pooh guy.
How'd they pull Tigger off? Was Tigger good?
Tigger was great. Yeah. They captured everything. But it is British based. The movie's name is Christopher Robin.
Kind of a Mary Poppins kind of feel almost.
With
that much of that kind of culture in there?
Yes, yeah, and they even had a Mary Poppins trailer beforehand. Lin-Manuel Miranda.
It looks kind of good.
It looks good. Yeah. It's actually Mary Poppins something. It's not like a remake.
She comes back.
I think that's what that is.
In 2018? Yeah. Oh, it's going to get weird for Mary.
It could have been worse. Mary Poppins does Dallas.
She has an umbrella. It's fine.
And to tell you how much my wife loves Winnie the Pooh and her family, she texts me, do not bash Winnie the Pooh.
Oh.
No.
Because I can't give it a fair assessment because I fell asleep, right?
Right.
That's an expensive nap.
It is an expensive nap.
Oh, but it was so good. Use of AC, right?
Oh, my God. I don't know. And on top of that, there were the seats that lift up your legs.
Oh, you were toast.
So you were out at Universal.
No. It was a different spot. Oh. It was closer to our house. We had to go home. I picked up my daughter, and then I brought her back to Universal.
Oh, you were in for it. There was no way you were going to make it through this
I literally been in the sun all day, and I see it, and I'm like, I get it, but sleeping would be so much better. And then I wake up. You know, you have no idea how long you've been passed out. But I wake up, drool running down my mouth, like I just a mouth breathing.
Do you have it on
pool.
Your shirt?
You obviously don't
shirt?
Snore then.
I don't snore, but I breathe really loud, so I'm like, right? And as I'm wiping the drool, I look to my left, and the couple, the little teenage couple, are pointing and laughing at me. And I look at them, and I'm like,
drooling.
So you don't realize you went viral over the weekend.
Did I? Yes, finally.
You were dad falling asleep at Boo Movie over the weekend.
Right.
That would have been me, because you know what I did? I looked over, and they were laughing at me, and then I just went right back to sleep. Yep. I went right back to sleep, and I woke up about 5 minutes ago in the film. I was like, I don't understand anything.
Is
this thing still on?
I don't understand this movie. Been around 100 years.
At least you don't snore, because if you snore, it's embarrassing. Hey, you're snoring. Everybody hears it.
Nah, man. No, luckily I don't. But so if you're a Winnie the Pooh fan, you're going to love it. Like, it's had every weasel and woozle and humble
dog. You don't know.
No, but the people around me who are holding stuffed animals and blankets, they got up, their tears in their eyes, it captured everything that they wanted from a Pooh, live-action Pooh movie.
Now, if you're looking for a good place to nap,
German film.
This is a good place for $15 to go throw it down the drain.
Well, let's see here. How much money did it end up making? If you got it up there, you can tell me, Russ. Here's something funny, though. You know the Winnie the Pooh movie doesn't play in China, right?
Why?
To this. In China, it is illegal. And I'll tell you this. I'll actually just read it. Well, there hasn't been an official reason given yet, but the film has reportedly been banned because of the country's censorship of Winnie's images that started last year. Apparently, President Xi Jinping is sensitive to comparisons between him and the cartoon character.
Yeah. Oh, you know, it's funny that you say that.
He does look like Pooh.
It's illegal to post a picture of Winnie the Pooh in China. Illegal, straight up illegal.
Wow, sensitive.
The friends of mine that I was telling you about, that a lot of people from the audience may remember, Jesse the fiddle player, and her husband is Joseph Martin, and he does a Sunday morning coming down here on the radio. They're going to China to perform. Well, before they can go, they had to submit a video of themselves performing to what they
all
wear,
the music
and the set list and all the words to all the songs, and like the song by the Beatles, Revolution.
Yeah.
Can't play that.
Right.
Can't play that. Can't play.
Hell no, they don't want that.
Nothing from the Beach Boys. You can't play that. Right. Don't know why. They have certain things you just can't. You can't play in China.
Wow, that's insane.
Devil Went Down to Georgia's fine.
Yeah, that's good. Right. We all love Charlie Daniel.
Mission Impossible.
Yeah,
man. Oh, you got it? Okay.
Yeah, I finally got it. Yeah, $35 million Fallout. That movie is supposed to be amazing, man. I got to see this. I got to go see a big action movie this summer.
Mission Impossible.
Yeah, I want to see it. And so it made a ton of money. And internationally, it brought in an estimated $76 million. Tom Cruise is smiling from ear to ear
right
now.
And it's the sixth one, you know?
God,
I mean,
damn, still
big one-toothed in the middle smile.
Yeah. Yeah, and so, yeah, it's making a ton of money. And good for Tom Cruise. The runner-up was Christopher Robin, what we're talking about here. It only made $25 million. But
creepy movie.
It's similar to Pete's Dragon. Mm-hmm. Like, it's this cult kind of... Pooh is bigger than Pete's Dragon.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But it's not your... Like, I think Dumbo or Beauty and the Beast, Lion King,
yeah,
all of these...
Yeah, it's a B-tier movie for Disney.
Yeah, well, it never had its big, gigantic film. It's always been a series. It's always been... beloved characters. They had a Huffalump movie. I know people are tripping that Love Winnie the Pooh right now, but they had it. It's just never been that big. But the Dumbo trailer. Have you guys seen that?
Yes, mm-hmm. That looks good.
That looks good. I'm in for Dumbo. Anyway, Christopher Robin made $25 million. It made internationally $4.8 million. Not that good. And then in third place was The Spy Who Dumped Me. That's the one with Mila Kunis.
A little bit of a comedy.
Yeah, and Kate McKinnon.
Kate McKinnon, who I think is hilarious.
I think, have you seen her in Comedians and Cars with Coffee?
I have not.
She's as odd as you think she is.
Oh, is she?
And yeah. In the best way. She's very sweet. She's almost like the Target lady she kind of...
Like Will Ferrell odd.
Yeah. And so that made $12.35 million, which production budget of... $35 million. It's gonna make money, man. It's crazy. And then Mamma Mia still making money at the box office, as well as Equalizer 2 still making some dough.
Angel, you saw Equalizer 2, right?
I liked it.
You liked it?
Yeah, I liked it a lot.
Now here's some other news. Disney and Marvel's Black Panther joined Star Wars: The Force Awakens and Avatar as only one of three films to ever top $700 million at the box office. That is an amazing feat for a film that a lot of people said, oh, I wonder if it's going to work. Should we even do this? We have to wait. Well, it was sitting there, and congratulations to Chadwick Boseman and the rest of the cast there that really deserve a lot of props, because it wasn't particularly like my favorite movie, but a lot of people loved it. A lot of people saw it. Made $700 million. That's almost $1 billion, folks. That's crazy. And as far as a Netflix breakdown this weekend, I didn't see anything. Did you guys see
I'm waiting for Ozark, man. I can't wait for Ozark, but it's not till the end of the month.
Yeah, so my wife finished Orange is the New Black. Yep. I still have two episodes to go. I actually slid downstairs and saw the one of the last scenes, which pissed me off because it was two of the main characters had finally kind of, you know, did the thing they were supposed to, or, you know, it had been kind of leading up. But it looks like a great season. And last season was so bad that it actually made me cash out on the season. Checked out. And they started a new one called I Am a Killer.
Yeah, I saw that. The trailer was crazy.
And the very first one we watched, the guy was born in Orlando.
Oh,
53
really?
Years old, was around here. He is a...
A documentary, like real.
Yeah, it's real. They go to an inmate, and they basically document how they wound up there. And... the goal and stuff. It's a little slower than you think. It's not as sensationalized as you would think, like this, I am a killer.
Right.
It's their story. But I have to tell you, the way they edit these things is so brilliant. Carlos has been saying this for years. You know, you can win or lose something in the editing room, but the way that they produce these shows, how they kind of lead you down, they show you a little bit and go, oh, yeah, the guy's definitely
innocent.
You know, innocent. And then they tell you one little fact. Oh, here's something I didn't say. That guy did that two times before when he was younger.
Right.
Now, he hasn't done anything in 20 years, but he still has that gear. You're like, oh, got me again. It's a good show.
I'll check it out. So the trailer was pretty captivating.
Yeah.
I did see something called Babies Behind Bars. And I know what you're thinking. Little babies behind
little
bars.
Murder babies.
Little murder babies. But no, it's this one place in Indiana that is a one of like maybe two or three institutions that allows women to have their babies on premises in their prison. Okay, so like literally there's a little nursery. And
what a life.
What a life. And you know what it is, guys? And this is Motivational Minute, man. Hey, I got a young daughter. We got a bunch of people here that have daughters. Every single one was drugs. Every single one was drugs that led to theft for the boyfriend. Drugs that led to theft for this is drugs. And I know a lot of parents are like, man, I try my best. I do anything I can. But it is a sad state of affairs on how bad it is there. But to see these women taking care of these babies within these prison confines and the personality traits, it's just in this day and age, we have so much access to information. It seems like, why wouldn't women if they were in prison? So, okay, yeah, they messed up, but can't we just let them have the baby so that we don't end up with crazy, maniacal people that never had their mother?
Yeah.
You know?
Well, and this show that we were just talking about basically kind of shows you how quickly life can turn. Especially, and sometimes you have nothing to do with it or don't think you have anything to do with it, but life can go from kind of cool to completely and utterly death row uncool, like that.
And it's all emotions, and it's a good show. You got to check it out. I like learning about things that maybe I'm not too connected to. But and then one last thing. What else did I watch this weekend?
This is America. Like, when did new ones come out?
That came out last night.
It was America. Somebody said they got Joe Arpaio really good.
They did, and I watched a little of the clip. Sacha Baron Cohen is a genius. If you haven't watched Who Is America,
you should watch it. It's really, really funny.
On one of the most amazing pieces of comedy I've ever seen in my life.
It's cringe. It's cringe comedy.
I heard an interview with Adam McKay. You know who Adam McKay is?
Yeah, right.
He's the guy who builds all these movies with Will Ferrell.
Yeah.
I mean, all Anchorman, all those, right?
Yeah.
He said he thought Sacha Baron Cohen was the definitive comedian kind of guy working right now because he takes chances that nobody else can. Does. Like, he does dangerous things.
Have you seen it, Jimmy?
No, I have not.
You've
it's on my list.
No,
I got it. I got it. It's on my list. Unbelievable, right?
Yes, it's unlike anything you've ever seen. I don't know how they get to those premises.
I don't know how he does it with a straight face.
I don't know how he does it.
I don't know how the makeup artists that make him unrecognizable, considering he's done three full linked pictures on this stuff.
Yeah,
that's unbelievable in itself.
This is America. It's on Showtime. I hope you have an awesome Monday. I hope you kick Monday's ass. I hope you get this week going and it sets you right, and you have wonderful things ahead. And I do know one thing: today will be a great day. To the top, never stop.
All right, now you're listening to the Monster of the Morning.
Making sure we're on the same page, whatever the hell this is.
I'm beating the crap out of the guy. I don't care if his junk touches me.
Real Radio 104.1.
Real Radio
104.1. Hey, coming up at 11 o'clock, you have another opportunity to win a trip for two to Vegas. The iHeartRadio Music Festival. So keep listening for that keyword. You text it to 200-200, and you could be a winner. Once again, thank you to all the listeners that came out to our Monster Fan Appreciation Show over the weekend at Universal Studios Orlando. You guys are great. We had a heck of a lot of fun. And if you want to see what a lot of listeners got to kind of experience, it's on our website at monsters.fm. It says Monster Fan Appreciation Day. And you click on it. It's a YouTube segment, about 30 minutes long. But you kind of get to see us as we're taking our photo together. You get to see when we bring everybody in. And so it's kind of behind the scenes that you'll love. And it's on monsters.fm. I'm Russ Rollins, along with Dirty Jim, Ryan Holmes, Carlos, and now Angel's going to bring you Monster Sports.
Monster Sports brought to you by my great friends over there at Harry Buffalo, downtown Orlando's premier sports bar, restaurant, pub, all the above. Great bar staff. We had Orlando City Street Party right there in front of Harry Buffalo. It was hot. But plenty of adult cold beverages out there for you.
Oh, yeah.
Nice.
So we'll be out there for the next Orlando City match. And if you're doing anything downtown, whether it's sports-related, because they have the UFC fights later on.
I was about to say, it probably went on this weekend, right?
They have the UFC fights on later on that night there. And, you know, anything sports-related, they'll have it on in-house. If you're doing anything downtown, whether it's Amway or any of the other venues, it's a great place to eat before you go to any of your other places. So Reese, Mo, Allen, all those guys are great staff.
And Manny, the firefighter, Orlando firefighter.
That's where he had his
watch party last night. God bless this guy. He's such a nice guy. Knowing he wasn't going to win, and the other it was three people at the end. It was the Food Network Stars.
Yeah, right?
Next Big Star. And there were three people in the competition, and it was a tie, so the other two people won, and he knew he was, like, the only loser. And he still has the party, and was still coming in here promoting and talking to us. But I think that's really cool.
Still has value, man. He's got to do it, you know, if you're going to make that big jump. And he's already on their list, and he'll continue to get calls. There are a number of guys like that where if they know you're good on television, they will continue to call you because they know they don't have to lean on you for content. They know they just kind of get you going, and you can do it.
Hey, here's a good thing, though. I mean, he didn't win. He's open to maybe be Meet of the Week next year.
Oh, yeah. Okay,
man. We're going to have a Meet of the Week.
It's going to be hard to do it on my show. That's for damn sure.
Did you guys catch that video bouncing around over the weekend? And it was of your boy, Phil Mickelson, and he's doing this weird dance thing. They're hitting golf balls at him, and he's dodging out of the way of the golf balls, and he's dancing. Anyone see that?
No.
All right, so this thing took off over the weekend. I saw it.
I haven't seen it.
Only reason I saw it was because people were goofing on it because of his dance moves.
I know that he's doing a series of commercials for that Chrome softball from Callaway, where he says you can do anything with this ball, but I haven't seen that one.
All right, so the ads for Mizzen and Main. That's what the ad's for, apparently, okay? Now, and this spot ran from Thursday, it debuted Thursday, ran through Sunday.
Oh my God.
And because of people talking about it, like what we're doing here, so through the media exposure, through TV, radio, online, and social media, what value, as far as monetary value, do you think they put on this if this company had tried to pay for all of it? Like, they paid him whatever amount of money for the commercial, right?
Sure, right.
He cuts the commercial.
Because it's Phil.
Yeah, and it's Phil, and whatever that price is, right? But because of just the fervor of it, what it cost over the weekend, from Thursday to Sunday, this is how much they would have had to pay if they wanted to get all that kind of exposure. It's a high number, but it's not ridiculously
high.
I'll
say $2
million. $2 million, I said right there. $2.1 million dollars for people talking about it, seeing it on through social media, Mickelson dancing in this weird commercial. I'm not even really sure what the commercial's for, because you just get caught up and he's like, that's weird for, you know, like,
yeah,
he's
just crazy, like a serial killer.
Right, you never see him. Yeah,
he's looking right into the camera at you like he's about to murder you.
Oh, yeah,
is that a clothing
bizarre
company?
Yeah, it's a clothing company. So it's showing that the clothes can stretch and move around.
Okay, so yeah, it's a shirt commercial. Thank
that's
you, guys.
Funny.
That's pretty funny, yeah.
That's funny. That's brilliant. Honestly, this is exactly what you're looking for these days when you do a commercial. You want it to be fun. You want it to be, you know,
something that you've never seen him do before.
And then what? It goes viral.
There's a child somewhere that thinks Phil Mickelson's going to kill them now.
If Tiger Woods would have had Phil Mickelson's like personality, he would have been the first billionaire athlete by a million.
He was close though, wasn't he?
Yeah, I mean but that's even with him like not doing fun interviews, not being a fun person, just winning all the time.
Right.
Imagine that personality with a guy with that talent.
Like a LeBron, we have that mixture of all that.
Everything, yeah.
In regards to Orlando City, we got a point over the weekend. Both teams, the men's professional team and the women's professional team, both got points this weekend. 1 point. What does that signify to us? That the games were a draw.
Yeah,
the matches were
right?
a draw. So a 3-3 draw. Orlando City, we can score with anybody in the league. What we can't do, apparently, is defend.
Yeah, we cannot.
So that's where...
that's very true.
Yeah, that's where our dilemma is. Here's what the tying goal sounded like.
Service from Yotun into the area. Flick on! Goal, Orlando City! You love stoppage time tonight! 3-3!
And that's what's neat about professional soccer. And even when it's a draw, and I remember one of the things that your dad told you in the very beginning, that when the home team... You know, we deserve to have a draw.
Yeah.
We might not have deserved to win, but we definitely didn't deserve to lose.
Right.
So a draw is perfect.
You got such a memory, Angel. I tell you, he's right. The first Orlando City game I went to was with my dad, and I remember him on the way there was like, well, hopefully we can draw. And I'm like, well, who cares about a tie? Ties are boring. Ties are stupid. And then the whole game, we tied, and it was like a great deal. You felt good about it. So I never understood that until that moment. And so this is essentially kind of a little win for
us. Yeah, it is. It gets us off the losing streak, which is huge.
Yeah.
And again, like I said, we got the point, and obviously 3 points would have been better, but we got the 1 point, so that keeps us in the mix for a good, strong playoff run. Another really neat thing happened over the weekend, and it's a first-time victory for this gentleman.
One lap to go, presented by Credit One Bank. 7 turns. He just needs to do 7 turns perfectly at Watkins Glen to grab his first career win. He goes wide through turn one, the 78 coming up.
Jumping up and down, yelling, screaming, losing their minds here at Watkins Glen. Can Elliott hang on? He's back to 2 car lengths in front of Truex as they leave the S's for the final time.
Almost giving up the lead in turn one, but he's now got another comfortable lead.
That's
as
junior.
He breaks into the interloop.
He sounds great.
Truex charges hard, trying to gain that ground
sounds
back.
14.
No mistake.
Yeah, he's got a high-pitched voice,
here, but
man.
Chase Elliott, a cleaner corner. That's about 4 car lengths there through the carousel.
Carousel.
Chase Elliott almost home free. Truex wide in the corner.
He looks to be in great shape, but the mistake that he made in one again cannot be replicated here in turn 6.
Dale Jr. sounds great.
Yeah, man.
Truex is out. Now Chase can just cruise to
Mary Beth, we got a push.
That was exciting.
He did a really good job at that.
It sounds comical next to the other guy.
What? Why is it such a big deal that Chase Elliott wins?
It's his first win.
He's a young kid. He's a young kid, right?
Yeah, this is Bill Elliott's kid. He's been running really good, but he hasn't gotten his first series win. So it was his first win at Watkins Glen, which is a road course. To me, it's one I enjoy watching NASCAR at Watkins. A lot of guys.
I was wondering the seven turns. Yeah. I was like, what seven turns is he talking about?
NASCAR purists can kind of get bummed out about it, but I enjoy the road courses that they do during the season, and this is a big win for him.
Did you know Dale Jr. would do that good of a job? I mean, he sounds really good.
I think we shouldn't be surprised, because what we've seen lately when they've taken guys out of the sport and they've put them in the booth recently, Tony Romo crushed it.
Oh, my God, the best.
Who is another recent one, Jimmy? I can't think of, I'm forgetting. Romo,
Jeff Gordon did a good job, too.
Jeff Gordon did it as well. So it's a neat perspective hearing these guys, especially when they're not that far removed from actually driving in this series or on the field.
I think Gruden, even though he wasn't a player,
Gruden was
really
great,
captured that, you know, insider kind of feel. And Dale sounds great doing that.
He need
really
to turn
cool.
the bass up on his mic, though.
He doesn't have any bass.
Yeah, but he gets excited.
He was excited.
Chase is just out hitting puberty, and I don't know what to do.
Troy Aikman is another one. He's a veteran.
He's okay.
He's been doing it for quite some time.
Charles Barkley doesn't do color commentary.
Every now and then he'll do NCAA games, but it's no. He's mostly
it's, but it's bizarre when they take that crew, and NBA crew from TNT, and they put them to do the college games.
It is
because
odd.
They're like, they don't know any of the guys, and so they're just, you know, this guy is this guy that.
You know what's weird? I can't look at Charles Barkley the same anymore after he got Googled me Chuck by Shaq. I just can't look at him anymore. When a guy can just break you down by, like, I don't know if you heard, but you might want to Google me, Chuck. I mean, when you break you down, Google me, Chuck, three words just decimates every argument you ever had about anybody.
Yeah. He's funny.
All right, some other news that happened over the weekend. So we know that Urban Meyer's under investigation. OSU.
Oh, my God. This whole thing is a mess.
Yeah expects man. This to have it wrapped up within the next 14 days. They're interviewing everybody. They're taking people's statements. So within 14 days, the school announced a statement on, they made this announcement on Sunday that they expect to have this investigation wrapped up and taken care of.
Have they said what they're going to do, like, long term? Because haven't they kind of suspended him while the investigation's going on? And college football starts not that long from now. I mean, like 3 or 4 weeks, right?
Yeah, he's suspended with pay right now, so he's still collecting. I was telling the guys this on Friday, Jimmy. What do you think he collects a day because of his contract?
$50,000.
It's 22 and change that he makes a day. And he's still collecting that even though he's on.
Second highest paid coach in the league, right?
Yeah, paid suspension. Yeah, in college football.
Yeah,
so.
Who would be for? Oh, got to be Alabama, right?
Yeah, Nick Saban.
But with a guy like that's more about his reputation than it is money.
Yeah, but I mean, Urban Meyer didn't have that great of a reputation going back to Ohio State. Mm. They call him Urban Liar.
We had the Hall of Fame inductions over the weekend for the NFL.
Yeah.
Some of the notable notes, a huge shout out to Randy Moss, a very powerful statement that he made during his induction speech.
He's great on Instagram, man. I like that dude. He's always with his family. He's always speaking from the heart. Yeah.
On his tie that he was wearing had all the names of people that have been killed in police custody or those scenarios.
Wrongly killed, yeah.
Yeah. So he had that on his tie. A lot of really cool moments and everything. What was most bizarre was what went down with Terrell Owens.
Yeah, what happened? I saw a little bit.
This whole thing is so crazy, man.
Yeah, I'm sure one day he's going to be able to explain it better than what we're talking about. We're going to get to hear his perspective.
I'm going to say he's probably not.
For him, it was more important to be with his in his college. And they were chanting, and they were doing, like, they were rooting for him. He came out and did his acceptance speech.
So he did it at, where did he go to college?
Tennessee Chattanooga, the Mox.
But he did not go to NFL.
Yeah, no, he wasn't there. He wasn't in Canton. He had nothing to do with it. Wasn't interested.
Right.
That's been an ongoing beef for a couple years now. With the whole thing with him.
Yeah, so, basically turns it down, isn't a part of it, and then the very next day, he's trying out for a Canadian football team.
Yeah. Oh, is he really?
A Canadian Football League team, which is interesting because we had another story on Friday from a guy who's been kicking around, and this is the first time we've gotten to see him play football in 3 years.
How do you look?
Horrible.
Yeah. Oh, yeah,
oh Manziel looked bad.
He had no line either, man. You got to give him a little bit. They were on there at his ass in two seconds.
Oh, he had a line, all right.
No. No, here's the thing.
That's what got him up for the game.
Yeah. With that said, he went 11 for 20, 104 yards, 4 interceptions.
Oh, jeez.
You might not have a line to protect you, but you can still not throw the ball away.
Stupid pass is true.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, and that's one of those. I watched him. I'm no Manziel guy. I literally saw it. One of them was a pretty amazing play that he got picked. But the rest were some bad passes.
And I think that's what they're looking at is the decision-making process. Instead of eating the ball and taking the sack, if you're going to risk it and throw the interception, there's
but
plenty
that's
of
not guys. His style.
That's a big part of the NFL, too, is, when you hold it type thing. I mean, that's as big a part of the play as anything else.
He's a runner. He's a gun runner, man.
So with that said, so he does that on the field. But I will say this. I'll give him props on the post-game interview.
Oh, yeah? How'd he do?
It was like, look, this was my fault.
Oh, nice.
This was me. I made some poor decisions. I'm going to do better. You know what I'm saying?
But I'm serious, guys. I'm so high.
He took ownership of his performance on the field. So, again, and it's... like I said, it's the first time. He looked rusty.
Yeah.
He looked like a guy that hadn't played any kind of football in 3 years. So we'll see how that pans itself out. And that is Monster Sports.
Yeah, real quick on the Randy Moss thing. It's interesting when you start. I haven't heard that name in a while, and I knew that that whole thing was coming down. How would you like to be the athlete that, like, at one point I believe that 80% of the football coaches in the NFL said he was the greatest athlete they'd ever seen.
He could have gone pro, basketball, football.
Like, literally, the track and field, he was a world. I mean, the guy literally was one of those human anomalies that, if you talk to any of the players, like, yep, that's the best athlete I've ever seen. And the high school coaches say, look, the playbook was this, get the ball to Randy. That's all it was. That was it. Get the ball to Randy.
There's a 30 for 30, and it's called something about Randy Moss. I can't remember
it's
now.
It's called...
Green County or something.
No. It's something new, because it was where he grew up. It was in West Virginia, right?
Yeah. It's really good. It's actually one of the first 30 for 30s, if I remember correctly.
My 80-year-old dad punched me over Randy Moss one time.
Did he?
Wow. Yeah. My dad's from Minnesota, big Minnesota Vikings fan, and Moss went to the Patriots, and I was like ribbing on my dad a little bit about it, and he just straight up old man punched me. It was amazing.
All right, we have an iconic actor who has announced his retirement. I'll tell you who that is when we come back. You're listening to The Mantra of the Morning. Real Radio 104.1. We're broadcasting live on iHeartRadio. Remember, if you've got Alexa, you can say, Alexa, play Real Radio 104.1, and it will do it for you. Also, you can say, Alexa, play the Monster of the Morning podcast, and it'll do that too. So we appreciate everyone listening to us all over the country, all over the world on our podcast channel at iHeartRadio. I'm Russ Rollins, along with Dirty Jim, Angel Carlos, and Ryan Holmes all here today. So this particular actor has announced his retirement. So this is the film that is coming out now, is his final film, the last time you'll see him on screen. Who do you think? This iconic.
Older?
Yeah. Older.
Eastwood.
Eastwood's a good guess. The same. I consider them the same class.
Eastwood, God, who would be in that scene? Robert Duvall?
Robert Duvall is incorrect.
Oh, he almost said the name that Robert's the first name.
Yeah.
Oh, Robert Redford.
Robert Redford is correct. Yeah, you got one right. Look at you.
Two today.
Look at you. You're on fire there, right?
Still no prize.
Yeah, he's...
Does anybody care, though? Has he made a movie worth watching over the last, 10 years?
Well, he's got a movie coming out now called The Old Man and the Gun with Sissy Spacek and Casey Affleck.
Yeah.
And he's in it. He's 81. But when they interviewed him about this film, because that was my last movie. But I mean, he was, you're right, lately I can't think of the last thing that he did, but he did Butch Cassidy the Sundance Kid, The Sting.
Sneakers is a great Redford movie. Have you ever seen that movie?
Yeah,
Sneakers?
A long time ago.
Ben Kingsley's in it. It's a great cast, real good movie.
The most relevant thing he's done is probably Cars.
Was he?
Yeah, he was a voice in one of the main, I believe he was one of the
last
guys.
Movie I saw him with, and it's one of my favorite movies, was James Gandolfini. The Last Castle.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh,
that is a great movie. It's about...
The prison?
He's like a military guy.
In a military prison, and he's a general that kind of messed up, and it's about him being in there trying to reform this prison. It's an amazing movie.
He was in All the President's Men, The Natural.
Spy Game is the last one I saw him with Brad Pitt.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was recent, too.
The Natural. That's when he played a lead.
The Natural was a magical movie.
Yeah.
I mean, it really is a magical film.
He was in Captain America, The Winter Soldier.
That's right.
Yeah, he was what? In
that. Yeah.
Yes, he was. You know, funny.
Like Stan Lee, they put him in a lawn chair on the sidewalk and then glance by him with a camera?
No, we actually had a part.
No, he was a vital part of that movie.
And you know, funny, we're talking about this morning. I told you my story about me going to Utah and for that stupid, pyramid scheme thing, whatever. And while we were there, we're like, oh, Sundance is not that far away. Let's go to Sundance. Me and my buddy go to Sundance. We go to have breakfast. We're sitting there having breakfast. Look back in the corner. There's this old dude sitting there reading a paper. Puts the paper down. It's Robert Redford eating breakfast by himself. And the lady comes over and goes, is that Robert Redford? Because, yeah, he comes here every morning for breakfast. He walks by us. And he said, hi, fellas. How you doing? I'm like, hey.
I like, hey, Robert Redford. Hi, film legend.
Yeah. And he was as personable and...
Love that.
He was a good-looking man for being... I mean, God, he must have been 70-some years old.
Right?
Is there any reference of why he's not doing it?
He's 81, dude. Yeah, the guy break.
I'm just saying, because I mean, he's looking every bit of it.
He says that he will he'll probably direct more, but as far as being on camera, that was his last movie.
God, it seemed like directing is actually a bigger role than acting. So.
It would.
You have a lot to do when you direct, right? You have to oversee editing, you have to oversee sound, all that stuff.
Oh yeah.
Said he's been acting since he was 21, and now he is 81.
God, it seems like he'd be in the game even earlier than that. That's actually more surprising than him retiring.
Really?
That he made his first movie at 21. A lot of the people who are big stars made their first movie really, really young. I just saw a thing. Did you see 60 Minutes last night?
I did not.
Jennifer Lawrence. They kind of start going over her career.
Yeah.
Dude, she was Oscar nominated when she was like 15 for some crazy movie that nobody saw or heard of.
Huh.
But she's amazing. No acting coaches. You ready for this? The best Jennifer Lawrence trivia of all time.
Huh?
Do you think she has a high school diploma?
Well, probably not. Then.
She does not.
Since you asked it,
she dropped out in middle school.
Yeah, she straight up said, I'm out.
Dropped out in middle school.
Wow.
Yeah, her story is really interesting. Yeah, she's never done acting classes.
How did she seem like her personality? How did it seem?
Very, super cool.
Very fun and bubbly and has a lot of people speaking very good things about her.
Got the same three friends she had when she was, you know, really, really young. And they look out after her. They call themselves her watchman type thing. They do like TV watching parties and stuff like that. She's like a normal girl. And the funny thing is, it kind of goes back to Carlos's thing for a little bit. Like she says, you know, she never thought that she couldn't do it. She goes, there's some reason, something. I just knew that it was going to happen for me. I don't know what it was. I just knew I could do it. And she has this thing where she says her acting skill is the ability to mimic emotion. Empathy is the number one thing. She goes, I learned how to mimic and understand empathy. Like when I saw someone sad, I knew what that felt like, and I could replicate that.
Yeah, replicate. Yeah.
And that's how she became like a Oscar nominated badass actor.
That makes her sound like a robot.
I understand empathy, and it really, when you watch it, she's kind of not odd, but there's something about her that isn't. Normal is such a bad word in general. It's a bad word. But there's something about her that does seem, not robotic either, but there's something about her. If you watch it, it is almost, it's a little odd, though. Watch the interview if you get a chance.
I would 60 like
Minutes. It's a good interview, too, by the way.
You know, I saw an interview yesterday with Mila Kunis, who is in this new movie with Kate McKinnon.
Spy Who Dumped Me.
And when you see like what she had to go through, you know, you think, oh, there's so many people that, oh, they were just given everything. Nope. They didn't earn nothing. Nope. I mean, it's like her family came from Russia, and when they came here, like they couldn't speak any English at all. And she
her still speaking Russian, I think, or still speaking that mother tongue type thing.
And they barely had any money, right? But her mom saw this thing where they could buy her acting, you know, acting classes or whatever. And it was $200, $300, and they only had $400. But her mom said something just told her, you know what, this would be worth it. And bought her the acting classes, and now, you know, I mean, she's like
There's a really cool clip of Mila in this one, I forget what movie it was.
Black Swan.
Where she's doing promotion for it. It's the first time like one of her movies is being debuted in Russia or whatever. Mm-hmm. And I didn't mean the whatever, that was dismissive, but like she's doing the press conference with her other co-stars, and Russian news guy whatever tries to, I guess, goof on who else is with her in the movie during this press conference, And she steps in.
Shuts it down, huh?
And brings, in Russian, dude, and brings the heat and is like, listen, these are my coworkers kind of thing. You're not going to talk about them like
great.
That. And I was like, oh, damn. All right.
Yeah, she, in the interview I saw, it was Sunday morning, but not CBS Sunday morning, the other one, NBC. But anyway, she was a pretty cool chick.
Yeah, she seems cool.
Yeah, I'll tell you the thing that they did not shy away from the hacking of her account.
Oh,
during this, which was a really interesting thing, because in that movie Red Sparrow, she
plays an agent. There's
a nudity scene, and she swore to herself since that event happened, the frappening, I think is what it was, that she would never do that. You know, I have to tell you, man. Like I'm not a super emotional person, like a lot of times, but watching her explain what that did to her as a person, she said it in the camera. She goes, They took my body from me.
Yeah.
And when you hear like that, energy, it's like, man, I feel gross, like ever going to that site over and over.
I think
no, but I mean, it's just.
No, I know exactly what you're saying, Jimmy.
She goes, you know, they took my body. They took the right for me to share that if I wanted to from me.
That happened to me with Erin Andrews when I watched her talk about her incident where she was recorded through the peephole or whatever. And it got me like, look, I'm a guy. We've all looked at some of those images. But, like, I stopped after that fappening where I'm like, I would never search out somebody. Oh, that person's naked. Now, maybe Rihanna. I'll be honest.
Other than that.
You ain't got to worry about Rihanna. She puts it on her IG all day long.
And just watch her videos.
But I think they were replaying that interview because it was for Red Sparrow. And it was a really good one. And it did make you sad when you saw how hard it hit her.
Yeah. It is, like I said, it is an older video when you see it, because Red Sparrow's been out for a minute now. But when you watch the video, I'd seen the video. And I was just watching TV when 60 Minutes was on. I said, let's see. And I saw the Jennifer Lawrence interview. I'd never seen it. But it was kind of emotional. She actually took her a second to get to that. You know, when he mentioned the idea of somebody hacking her account, she just kind of paused. She goes, well, and then she looked again, and then she looked again. She didn't get emotional.
Is that the robot thing you're kind of talking about?
She'd already been through all that. It was kind of odd. She was like thinking about a response, but not in an unnatural state. I mean, you know, people are saying, it's out a little bit. I never saw it.
Yeah.
But it's very intriguing for someone who's, she's only 27, guys.
Yeah.
She's 27 years old, already been nominated for Oscar 3 times and won once. 27.
Wow. I thought she was a lot older because American Hustle, I was like, she looks a lot older.
Oh, she was fantastic in American Hustle.
There's a fun video with her and Chris Pratt when they did that movie Passengers, where it's a bit they
that
do
was
on
good
YouTube,
movie,
where they just insult each other.
Yeah.
It's great. She seems so normal.
That clip I was telling you guys about is it's her defending Justin Timberlake when they're doing media out there.
Oh, yeah, Just Friends or something.
One of those movies.
Can somebody let that guy get it just once? I mean, doesn't he have enough going right? I mean, let a Russian reporter get at him once. Just shut up and let him get pounded by somebody, for Christ's sake.
Crimea River was crap.
That's funny. But, I mean, I guess it's not a big surprise that someone who's 81 is not going to be in any more films. But
you saw the news that Charlotte Ray died today, right?
I did. You know, and they just had announced that they were going to do a reboot of
Facts
of Life. And the same weekend, they talk about the reboot as she passed away. But she was like 91. So.
Yeah. I had to research it because I get taken on Facebook so often.
Yeah.
I was like, okay, I got to go research. You can type it in. And sure enough, it came up this morning on, you know, legit news sites. And it wasn't just somebody replaying or reposting something trying to get everybody to bite on it.
I had forgotten that she started on Different Strokes. She was the maid on Different Strokes, and then got Facts of Life. It's funny because I just remember from Facts of Life, you know?
And because she was that girl, wasn't she the one back in the day, Russ, when we were doing the show? We had a couple people come in, and they were part of that whole Hollywood scene in the 80s and stuff. And they said, "Oh yeah, all the crazy parties were at Charlotte's house."
Yeah, they said she was the wild one in her younger years. So
kind of like that,
kind of cool to know.
Red hair, dude.
All right, we've got some email to read, and we'll do that when we come back. So don't go anywhere. You're listening to the Monster of the Morning. Today you're going to have opportunities to win tickets for two to the iHeart Music Festival, and it's going to be in Las Vegas. It's on September the 21st through 22nd, and just listen for that keyword, and you could win. You text the keyword to 200-200, so keep listening for that. Welcome back. I'm Russ Rollins, along with Dirty Jim, Angel Carlos, and Ryan Holmes all here today. Hey, tomorrow morning on the Monsters of the Morning, from WWE, Jeff Hardy will be here.
Awesome.
Yeah, and then we've got some people coming in from the Orlando Magic esports team.
Yes.
So the Orlando Magic have an esports team, and we got some of their superstars coming here.
We got them rolling in, telling us about their tournaments and whatnot, what they've participated in so far. And I think it's for the basketball game that they were, the basketball video 2K? Game team. 2K, yeah.
Yeah. So they'll be in here to talk about that tomorrow. Also, more chances to win trips for two to the iHeartRadio Music Festival. So that's all tomorrow morning on the Monsters of the Morning. I got an email here. I find this interesting. Curious to see what you guys are going to say. Hold on, let me stop this. I was watching the video from the Monster Fan Appreciation Show. It's kind of cool to see. You know, if you were there on Saturday, you might want to go and check out the YouTube thing, because I got a lot of the people that were coming into the studio and checking it out. But it's a pretty cool experience. If you've never seen what it looks like at the studio over at Universal, you can see it on our website right now at monsters.fm. This is a good morning, guys, and listen to the show for a long time. I'm such a huge fan of the show. You're the best part of my morning. Thank you very much. This is Jessica, by the way. She said, I'm emailing you because I went on such a disappointing date on Saturday night that because my date had his parents and aunt and uncle waiting to meet me, and he never told me about it. Basically, this happened. I met him at a restaurant several months ago. This was our fourth date. He's a really nice guy, and I really like him a lot. When I got there, he met me in front of the restaurant and greeted me as I walked in. And then he said, oh, hey, just so you know, my parents are here with my aunt and uncle. Let's go say hi. Then before I could respond, they were running over to say hi to me. We, of course, ended up having dinner with them, and it was way too much for me. I told him that dinner was overwhelming for me that night. I needed to go home and get some sleep. I won't go out with him again, and he doesn't understand why. I mean, really, should I really have to tell him? He should have figured it out. What kind of guy surprises me with his family on our first date? Do you guys blame me? And her name is Jessica.
Is it the first or fourth date?
Fourth date. It's the fourth date.
Oh, okay.
You should not surprise a date with your family.
No, never.
I don't care if it's your ninth date. You should not do that. You should not surprise the girl you're dating with your family that early. You should just say, hey, man, my family and I are going to get to the restaurant. We'd love to have you come out. You should not surprise people like that. I think that's the hardest thing.
You don't blame her for not wanting to go out with him again.
Yeah, no. I don't know. That's weird.
I think maybe he did them both a favor, you know, because if that's the way if in his mind, hey, listen, it's our fourth date, and if his mind, hey, listen, I want you to meet my family, and you were put off by that, or that was too overwhelming for you, then you guys aren't probably meant to be together. And it doesn't mean Jessica, it doesn't mean you're bad that you got overwhelmed.
No.
But it doesn't mean he's bad because he wanted you to meet us.
Don't you think that's poor form, though?
Yeah, like, you gotta tell somebody.
Like,
that.
You're in a relationship with somebody, right? And at that point, you're establishing ground rule, you know, ground. And whatnot, and trust and whatnot, and then you just kind of spring it on out. Oh, here's my family.
It is poor form, but the right chick for him would have been cool with it.
That's exactly what I was trying to say.
Like, it's totally poor form. You don't do that. You don't spring it on people. It makes it uncomfortable. But the type of chick that he would connect with should also be kind of okay with that type of mentality,
right?
You know, because to some women they might say, no, I don't have an issue with it, but I understand it's kind of weird fourth date. And
yeah, so I don't think
give
Jessica.
Him another shot. What the hell?
I don't think Jessica. I don't think you're bad because you were overwhelmed. You didn't like it, and so you're probably not the guy. You know, the girl for him, which is fine.
Does she even share in the context of that email whether she had fun on the other dates?
No. Yeah, she did. Yeah, she said she liked him a lot. He's a really nice guy, and I really liked him.
What if it was something that they happened to be there, and I'm totally thinking, you know, out of the box here. Like, what if they were planning on being there, and then it happened to be the same restaurant? I was like, oh, my parents are here. Do you want to just say hello?
Yeah.
You know?
That's what it sounds like to me.
Yeah, it sounds like that, but then it ends up being that was the whole date.
Yeah.
And that also sounds like, hey, this, you know, might as well go ahead and do it now since we're getting married and all.
Right.
You know, but it just sounds like a little too much. I mean, for somebody who's on their fourth date. I mean, it's a totally different dating scene than when we were dating, where, you know, you'd see where, you know, after four or five dates, you know, you're dating. I mean, that's not the way it is anymore. I mean, she could be going out with, you know.
I have to ease people into my family.
Yeah.
Like, I have to give them like a setup and like, here's this, here's what's probably going to happen. If you hear this crazy thing, just go with it. And I didn't introduce my girlfriend to my mom for like a year.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's how my kids feel about me, pretty much. they would bring home a kid and I would just start talking to him from the toilet. And that doesn't go over well with some dudes.
Oh, it's not going to be. It's going to be a while. I mean, a while before.
Well, you're like that though. You're very. I mean, you keep everything separate, and that's your personality.
And there's a reason.
Yeah.
You cross the streams, and then it's the end of the world.
Yeah. Now, I've had this happen before to me, where one of this girl I was dating, she was like, oh, my family's here, you want to meet him? And it didn't bother me, I
Yeah.
But
have you done this? Have you introduced someone to your mom and dad on like a third or fourth date or something?
Not on a date, no. I usually have to, I got to brace them for my parents. You got to brace yourself. Yeah, I've never done that before. But if my parents were at a restaurant and they just happened to be there, I wouldn't think twice. I'm like, oh, I want you to meet my mom and dad.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's more circumstantial. Like, hey, no way, my mom and dad are here. You know, and even then, I bet most women would be like, oh, this is a setup. You know, it just seems so coincidental for you to be out there. You know, it just seems a little wonky.
And the worst sentence you could say to me is, as without me knowing ahead of time, is, oh, your mom just texted me. Like, what? Yeah, right, exactly. Why do you have a number?
So it looks like Jessica's just wanting
approval to dump this guy?
To say it's okay to be mad. I mean,
I say no, don't dump. Give him another shot. One simple explanation may make her feel all better about this. Because what she's feeling is, God, this guy's moving fast. We're meeting the parents. There's a lot of information. It's overwhelming. But if he's like, hey, that was not supposed to happen.
Yeah,
I am so sorry. I didn't know what to do. My mom was there. My dad was there. And I really love to go out with you again.
Yeah.
Here's the one little part. It says, we, of course, ended up having dinner with them, and it was way too much for me. I told him after dinner it was an overwhelming night, and I need to go home and go to sleep. I won't go out with him again, and he doesn't understand why.
Well, and we don't know what was said at dinner.
Yeah.
I mean, she doesn't really say anything. I mean, you would think if something traumatic would have said, you know, or maybe she started, they referred to them as a couple already, and she was uncomfortable with that. And you know what that says is that the dude's been talking to his mom and dad about a situation that maybe doesn't exist, you know?
Mm. I don't know, but like that's like, it's not a date then. Like, when you meet the parent, that's like a job interview, because then all the focus is about that new person. It's like, what do you do? Where do you go? What about this? You thinking about getting married? You thinking about having kids? And like, it's just a frustratingly terrifying situation. To spring that on somebody is just mean. You should have broken up with them. I feel good for you.
Every time,
so you think she did the right thing?
Every time
that was
I meet,
a lot there.
Every time I meet one of my daughter's boyfriends, every time they ask me a question, I just look at them and nod like, yeah. And then I look them up and down.
Yeah.
And then every time they ask, I go, yeah.
Yeah, well, you got a good dad face, though.
Yeah.
You got that intimidating,
lots
dad
of practice,
face.
Dude.
Yeah.
Three cute daughters, lots of practice.
Mm. Yeah, if I showed up at your house, just one look, and I'd be like, I don't think I can do this anymore.
By the way, if you haven't watched the history of comedy that's on right now, I forget what, I think it's played
CNN,
before CNN, they're going through different eras of comedy.
So good.
If you love comedy, it's a really must-watch. It reminded me of a couple comedians I haven't seen in a while.
Right.
And I'm telling you, man, if you can check it out, it's really, really, really good. I know, Ryan, you have to be a giant fan of it.
Oh, yeah, I binge-watched it while I was at the hotel after the Monster Show. They were doing they just ran a bunch of them.
Yeah, I totally forgot. God, how good! I mean, Bill Hicks. You know, I mean, Bill Hicks is a
what
name.
What happened to him?
He died of brain cancer years ago. But the thing is people forget how brilliant Bill Hicks was, including myself. I was like, holy, how am I not listening to any Bill Hicks? And you hear every major comedian is like, yeah, this is the guy a lot of people wanted to be, but they didn't have the balls because he was like, he called on everybody. He was like the Lenny Bruce of not even our era, just the other Lenny Bruce who called out everything and made it funny. But check it out. It's also, if you love comedy, you'll love it.
Several people in the texting service are saying, Jessica should at least give him a chance to explain the night. You know, explain, you know.
Not that.
What's
not
explaining?
Nowadays. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's losing.
You say that?
Explaining is losing. Nowadays, if you get one and done, it's over. Yeah. There's, you know, go find somebody else. I mean, just move on.
You're going to probably talk your way out of it, but she's always in the back of her mind going to go, oh, yeah, you did that thing.
Well, you know, I think it's different, too. If she would have met the parents and, man, they were really, really nice. I really liked his parents. Then she wouldn't even be sending this email.
No, his parents are awful.
Yeah.
She didn't say she disliked him. It's just the event. You surprised her with that. I mean, she wasn't prepared to do that. I just kind of wonky.
If you want great advice like that, you can always email me, russ@wtcast.com. That's russ@wtcast.com. Join us this Friday. It's the Monster Back to School Skate Party. If you haven't been skating in a while, well, this is like one of the first, you know, family events that we've done for the radio station in a long, long time. So we want you to join us this coming Friday from 6 to 8. It's at Astro Skate. It's going to be fun.
It's going to be a blast. A lot of friends are coming in town for Walker Stalker. My buddy Cooper Andrews is going to join us that night as well.
Oh, from The Walking Dead.
from The Walking Dead, and he's a big guy that can skate.
Good, good, good. And then, by the way, with the skating party, if you are the best couple skaters, you're going to win $500 from the International Diamond Center.
Yes, so. And a bunch of prizes for the rest of the night. It's this Friday, August 10th at Astro Skate, 6 to 8 p.m.
Of course, Angel will be spinning the tunes, and Ryan Holmes will have his cotton candy bonanza.
Yeah.
You got tomorrow night?
Tomorrow night, Hammered Lamb from 6 to 8. Come hang out with me and do trivia and get free shots. It'll be awesome.
Yes, I will be at Walker Stalker this weekend at the Orange County Convention Center. Go to walkerstalker.com. To buy your tickets for any signings, for any pictures. I love to see everybody out there. And, yeah, it's this Saturday and Sunday.
Angel Brew Bus this Saturday, but it's sold out, right?
It's sold out.
All right.
We'll be announcing the next one here in the next week or so.
So don't go anywhere for that. All right, very cool. Stay tuned for the News Junkie right after the Monsters at 3 o'clock. It's the one and only Jim Phillips from the Phillips File. Then it's Tom and Dan. Then it's Real Last with Monster Comics. And we're back tomorrow to do our thing. From Dirty Jim, Ryan Holmes, Angel, and Carlos Navarro.
And the leader of this mess, the Merry Man Russ. I'll meet your parents, Rollins.
Hey, thank you so much for listening. We ain't gotta go home.
We gotta get the hell out of here.
Swirl.
Today is a new day and another chance to give up completely.
This is what it's come to. Afternoon unemployed drinking.
Real Radio. Yo. 104.1.